Okay, so welcome back, everybody. Again, we're kind of on a tighter schedule than I would like, but we began last time by going through, we surveyed a little bit the local suga. We thought we'd look at the sugas in Balbasra and later on, a few more. So again, we will get to it, but mostly we began by raising a couple of questions, and then we started discussing the question of Rabbah and Rabbah in detail. So I definitely want to get through Rabbah and Rabbah now, and also the question of how we paskin in the Rav Schora question. I think we said we were going to start with those two issues because they're very, very important. And then after that, I want us to go into much more detail about, you know, how your Magdir, Hana, you know, Nene and Chaser, and what their interaction really is, the different perspectives, and then, of course, the different circumstances, like when the guy is Makbid Meirosh, you know, things like that, you know, all the other, you know, issues that we touched on and began to explore. So in terms of what we did, we began just by noting the context, the Mishnah here on Daf Yud Tes on the base, which I think is very important because I think it puts everything to a framework, namely, normally you're chayav for nezek in our context because that's what we're dealing with here. And then in a case where you have a patur shein beregel b'rishus harabim, you still have the chiyuv of b'shalay mashanenis. And we were raising the question with regard to that particular halacha, and maybe, right, it's one step removed whether we're also going to apply that in a bigger way. Is this all being taped, by the way, to somebody in charge of the taping? For the, yeah. No, not oh, Joey's on the phone, and this is the tape recorder.
The first one we missed.
Oh, we missed last week?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, because somebody asked me about that, so it's really true. We missed it. Okay, so and now we are, though?
Yeah, we're good. We got it.
Okay. So, it's a pity. But the what we were trying to develop is that since the Mishnah establishes that there's a patur of Rishus HaRabim, and nonetheless is a chi of Shalom HaShanenis, so it's incumbent upon us to ask whether or not the chiyuv of Hana is itself kind of a rehabilitation of the of the chiyuv nezek. That's mishalim mashanenis is a form of hezek and mazik. And as we noted, there seem to be some lashonos in the Rishonim, Talmud Rashi from our Rosh, we saw earlier in the year, the question of meitav. Although again, meitav is applies to other things too, but certainly would apply if that were the case. Even more importantly, that could have a significant impact. That's one of the things we're going to pursue a little more today in the debate between Rabbah and Rabbah and trying to figure out what level of Hana you are going to have to pay. In other words, is the Meshalem Mashanenis a form of Meshalem Mashachaser? Meshalem Mashachaser, but ad kidei shiur Mashanene? Or is it really a pure Meshalem Mashanena? In other words, there's no mazik in it whatsoever. The relationship between this question and the universal question, again, the main sugya of Zenenev Zechaser, or Zelochaser, is right here, of course, in Bava Kamma. So again, the more you look at, you could have said, that in the context of Nizkei Mamon, that's really just a rehabilitation of mazik. You know, but outside of that, there can be all sorts of different scenarios and all sorts of different techetimtzis where, Reuven is Nene, and Shimon, from something that is connected to Shimon, and Shimon is Lo Chaser, or that Reuven is Nene, if we're talking about, parallel to the Mishnah, and Reuven is Chaser. So again, if what we're saying is that the Patur Rishus HaRabim here, in terms of Mazik, is absolute, and everything else, the Meshalim Mashanen is separate from all of that, so then what we've opened up is this idea that, when Reuven, benefits from Shimon, that he potentially owes Shimon. It sounds like he owes Shimon money. and then you have to discuss b'chaser, shelo b'chaser, etc. If we were to retain the idea that this is a din in, you know, this is just a moderation of how much nezek you pay, then we would say in other contexts maybe there is no such thing. There's no din, for, at least based on this sugya, that proves that being mishal, being nene al yedei Ruvain, you know, obligates you to Ruvain. So this is a very crucial question. On the other hand, and this I also want to make clear, it could be that even if we were to take the view that in nezek, the nene, you know, is a kind of a chaser, by which I mean you're really paying for mazik, just you're paying, you know, a different price, a different way of looking at it. So even if that isn't technically true, there may not be a parallel to that at all. That's what I was saying a second ago. But even you could still argue that even if that isn't technically true, what we see from this sugya is still a good paradigm or model, maybe in other areas of halacha. Others, it could be that there are other areas of halacha, not mazik, where there is, you know, something else going on, and that, you know, maybe this is evidence not just that hana alone is mechayev you, or hana shem mechaseres is mechayev you, but that hana sometimes, you know, will play a role in revising, you know, how we look at some other mechayev. That clear? I hope. Yeah? Okay. Again, a mashal ma'adavar doma, just to give an example, is something that we've talked about in the past. And that is, you know, from the world of averos, right? And the world of mitzvos, namely misasek. So misasek is generally potur, as we discussed. And misasek, you know, bichalavim v'arayos is chayev, you know, shekein nen. And there, too, it gets a parallel kind of an issue. You know, what do we mean by that when we say that misasek, you know, b'chalam arises chayv shekein nen? So one possibility is that it's a mechayev of hana, but then you have to assume, you know, that we're talking about categories in which there's a chiyav hana. Again, our sugya, we're talking about hana in terms of tashlumin. There I'm talking, again, about averos. So are you ever chayiv, are you ever over for being nene, you know, per se? So especially in the area of chalavim v'arayos, there is a case to be made that the hana per se is mechayiv. In other words, that the surei bia, you know, in addition to, you know, or to, again, what the exact relationship is, I'm not going to get into right now, to maisa bia, let's say maisa bia asura, that there's also a din of being nene mina erva or mibia asura, even if there isn't officially a maisa. Similarly, with regard to achila, right? Macholas asuros. Is there some, you know, if you have food that is not, you know, kosher, not acceptable, so are you also not allowed to be nene? I'm talking about hanos aguf, obviously. Is it achila per se, or maybe there are two levels? There's a lot of evidence about these questions. Again, you know, with regard to Bia Shalom Kedarka, for example, the Bali Tosis and Kiveger and Gilyon HaShas, and a bunch of places in Yuma, and you know, Yuma and in you know, in other places, you know, discusses you know, these questions. That maybe, you know, even if you don't, even if you're, maybe the Mechayev is Hana, you know, not the maisa, you know, per se. And in the world of achila, you know, both on a mitzvah level and an iser level, also there's some evidence, you know, in this regard. If you're nene min achila, for example, you have to make a bracha, or only when you're ochel. Right? Some people think birchas shahakol is a kind of bracha on hana'a, right? Hana'a sagabra, etc. So there's a lot of you know, discussion about, you know, this particular point, and there are those who actually think that that's the pshat. In misasek v'chalav marayis chayv shekein nene, the way they understand it is, misasek is not a maisa, or it's not a maisa which would be mechayev you. And that's true in Kol Torah Kula, and that's true in chalav marayis. However, what you have in chalav marayis, which, you know, makes it singular, is this idea that, you know, the Maisa isn't all that's Asur. What's also Asur is deriving Hana from it. That also leaves you the possibility of saying that maybe there are two, it's not the same level, maybe it's a dilution, maybe you don't get the same kind of Onesh in the case of Misasik, Bechalav, Marai, something to look at. Because we're basically saying, Mitzad, Maisa, Veira, you know, it's Misasik. However, the question is, you know, what does that, however, leave you with? If you take that view, you also will not export the idea of Misasik, Bechalav, Marai, Shekeinene, you know, into other areas of Halacha unless you're convinced that they too are driven by illicit, you know, hana. So, for example, there are two deis in Tosas in Sanhedrin, on what is it, Samech, I was going to bring it in, I forgot, Samech Gimel Amud Beis, regarding Shabbos, right? Let's say you're misasek on Shabbos, you know, in Melechas Shabbos, but in a Melecha which brings you pleasure, okay? So again, in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, in addition to everything else, you know, as we, this is what, something we discuss on Daf Chavav, right? There's also a din of misasek, according to the, you know, the view at least of Bali Tosis and most Chachmei Sfarad that became very dominant, and that is that there are two misaseks out there, you know, in the world. There is the misasek of, you know, the skaven, you know, lasos dvar heter va'osa dvar iser, or the skaven lachtoch, you know, tolush v'chotach mechubar, you know, and then there's a misasek of lo ola machshavto, the skaven lasos, the skaven lachtoch mechubar ze v'chotach mechubar acher. As we mentioned, Tosin Shavuos, Tosin Shabbos, Tosin Krisos, Tosis and Sanhedrin, a bunch of places Tosis says this, and that the din of the Melech Tzmachshevetz Asra Torah, you know, as far as the Misasek is concerned, that's what the Gemara says, in Masechet Krisus. So that din, you know, why is that even necessary? Why not just say, because Kol Torah Kula Misasek is Chayiv, Misasek is Potter, sorry, unless it's Chalav and Varayas. You have two, like, seemingly mutually exclusive Gemaras. One is Misasek is Chayiv b'chalav v'arayah shekeinene, and the other is that Misasek is Potter in Hilchos Shabbos because of Melechas Machshevas Asra Torah. So the Bali Tosis answer to that question is our two Misaseks. The more acute Misasek, you know, Niskavein leheter v'odol biyado iser, that's Potter and Kol Torah Kula and Chayiv b'chalav v'arayahs. And then the more specialized misasek, niskaven liiser zev ala biyado iser acher lo ala machshavto, say Balik Tosis, that's a special din of Melechas Machshavas. We were talking at the time about Rabbi Kveger, you know, whose big chiddush is that the narrower, more specialized one is a bigger hafka, and that's one of the things I was trying to explain that works in very nicely with the idea that Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah is not a kula, not a chumra, it's both. It's basically a recognition that Hilchos Shabbos, the subjective element or the focus, you know, plays a greater role. It plays a greater role, and therefore, if it's absent, it's a greater chisaron, and it plays a greater role. This is part of our Yishuv Shemchitzav discussion, and therefore, when you have kavana or focus, right, it can even expand the hagdara too. Okay. So my bigger point, though, is that Bali Tosis are when they're trying to explain this whole phenomenon, you know, about Misasek and Kol Torah Kula and Misasek and Hilchos Shabbos. So they one of the, you know, things that they explore is this: what happens in Hilchos Shabbos if you're Misasek in a way in which you're Nana? So there are two days in Tosis on that question. What's the difference whether your nene from Chalav and Varayo, so your nene in some other Isur in the Torah. Right? So if you take the view that Misasek b'Chalav Varayo Chayiv Shekei Nene is basically a din in the Mechayiv of Hana itself, right, then Shno Shna. It's very different. Right? Because Hilchos Shabbos, as far as we know, there's no din that you're Mechayiv for being nene. Right? From a malacha, it's being osa the malacha that's important. However, there's a second possibility, and that is that the reason you're chayiv, you know, when you're nene for Chalav and Varayos is what I call the tziruf, you know, factor. Namely, typically, misasek, you know, isn't considered a maisa avera, right? It's considered, you know, it happened, but you didn't do it. Either it's not a maisa avera or it's not mitzuruf to you. And in the case of Chalav and Varayos, right, the mechayiv is not the hana, but the hana is a mitzaref, and this idea of hana being a mitzaref is something which appears in a bunch of sugyas, may be relevant to us here as well. And therefore, there wouldn't be any special yichus to Chalav and Varayos at all. Like if you were doing a malacha on Chol Shabbos, and you were nana, you know, mimenu, then that would be mitzaref to you, right? So that's exactly the issue there. You know, when is Hana'a a mechayev as a standalone? And when is Hana'a simply a mechanism, right, to connect, you know, between you and that person or whatever? And the truth is that you have this in the world of Averos, and you have it in this one per second in the world of Mitzvos. That's a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, right? People learning Rosh Hashanah. The sugya of mitzvos trichos kavana, right? The Gemara says that there's a hava mina to distinguish chavches and Rosh Hashanah between matzah and shofar. The Gemara says that, you know, when it comes to matzah, ochlu parsiim, you know, yatza, and when it comes to shofar, tokei l'shir, is not yatza. So the Gemara says, why is that? Because in the case of matzah, it says, achol matzah v'ha'achal. And in the case of shofar, right, zichron trua is required, and there's no zichron trua. So the question again is, what is the exception? What is the rule? You know, shofar is different, or achila is different? So Rashi, Alatar, well, before we get to Rashi, but the Rambam actually paskins this way. It's not just, it's a havamin of the Gemara. Everybody notes that the Rambam, you know, has a stira in his psakim on mitzvahs tzrichas and tzrichas kavana, that when it comes to Megillah and shofar, there he holds a mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, and when it comes to matzah, he paskins a chlom parsiim that you're yotze. So, So there are those who suggest that the key to emphasize in the Gemara, in the Chiluk, is zichron trua amarachma, meaning the kavana that you require in Megillah, the kavana, the extra kavana that you require even in tkiyah shofar, not looking at tkiyah shofar so much as of a maisa, as a kiyum belev, or as a kind of a tefillah. And those are very important issues for the Yomin HaRoim, and not for now. But Rashi, in Rosh Hashanah, actually says that what the Gemara really had in mind was parallel to, and he quotes it, right, Misasek b'chalav marayas shekein nana. He says, in the case of achilas matzah, you know, you can say it's misasek all day long, but in the end of the day, you know, you are swallowing them objectively. You're swallowing and you're benefiting from eating matzah. So it's like shekein nana. But the truth is that, you know, again, you could make the point that the nature of chalavim and arayos is an isur hana, or it may maybe a level of it at least is isur hana. No one's going to tell you that the mitzvah of achilas matzah is to be nena min matzah, right? It's the objective action of achilas matzah. Indeed, if you eat matzah, you know, pulverized, you know, matzah where it has no shape and it's nimoach and so on and so forth, the Gemara says that you're not yotze, right? That's one of the things that seems to break the equation between chametz and matzah and psachim. Anyways, so the point is that what Rashi clearly had in mind was the mitzaref idea. So similarly, here, right, what I'm saying is that's in mitzvos and that's in isurim. Okay, misasek in mitzvos and in isurim and the role that Hanah plays. But we're talking about something a little bit different. We're talking about, you know, dine mamonis, the mamon implications. But having said that, you know, this is kind of the question. The question is, what paradigm are we employing? Are we basically suggesting that being nene per se is mechayev you? Being nene from someone is mechayev you? If the source of my hana is my neighbor, you know, then somehow I owe him for that? Is that what we're saying? Or are we saying that the hana is a mitzaref? Or the hana, you know, is kind of refines or revises or redefines what it is that we're doing. It's not hana per se. So again, when we go back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Bershus HaRabim, you're chayiv, I'm sorry, you're potter for Shein Beregel, but you're chayiv to be Mishali Mashanenis, and this is what we're asking, basically. What we're saying is, are you potter legamri? You know, and now there's a new question, and that is, you know, forget about Nezek. Now take the question away from, you know, I guess the Rambam codifies this halacha, but just to be stark about it and symbolic about it, you could have said, well, really, conceptually, the Shalim Mashanenis doesn't belong in Hilchas Nizkei Mamon at all. You know, it's a universal question about when Hana is derived or is attributed, you know, or stems from, you know, someone else, whether that person has the legal right, you know, to collect. Does that, you know, have monetary, you know, significance? So the Kechet Timtzis are far and wide. And frankly, if that's really what the issue is, all things being equal, I'm going to qualify this in a second, then the context should almost never matter, right? Because it should just be one question. It shouldn't matter whether it's the Hana that's a result of Hezek, or the Hana that's a result of Gezel, or the Hana that is just, you know, totally innocent and peripheral, right? And at the end of the day, we're trying to figure out, you know, what's sometimes called mamoni gabach. Like, you know, that $100 pleasure, you got that from me. So, you know, write me a check. You know, and don't forget to sign it. Mishtarshi, to use the language of the Gemara in Chulin, we'll still talk about that. Meaning I have benefited from you, and therefore I owe you. So everything else is just a framework and a hechatimtzi. The other possibility is that that is never true, or at least that's not necessarily true, or maybe there are two dinim, right? And that would basically tell us that this halacha is in, instead of, so again, according to this other perspective, the Ram's halacha here is applied in Nizkei Mamon, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be there, of course it should be there, but it isn't really a Nizkei Mamon halacha, right? It's a hilchos, I don't know, hana or hilchos, you know, kind of a broader meta halachic obligation of mamoni gabach, hilchos mishtarshi, whatever you want to call it, is really what I'm trying to say. The opposite of view is that, you know, hana doesn't have that kind of impact. You know, maybe not in aveiros and maybe not in mitzvos. Of course, it could be mechalik. Maybe not in aveiros and maybe not in mitzvos. You know, what it does have is the tziruf capacity. So in aveiros and in mitzvos, and maybe, you know, in other areas of halacha that affect dinei mamonis as well. So, you know, the way to look at that in terms of mazik, of course, also requires that we assess, I mentioned this last time, the p'tur of Rishus HaRabim and Shein Varegel. Right, so the more we think that the p'tur of Shein Varegel in Rishus HaRabim is, you know, on the defensive, meaning that it's mechudash, you know, and that it doesn't, either because it's just exeris hakasuv, you know, vein l'chabal l'chidusho, maybe, I don't know, but there really is a foundation, it's a p'tur, not a hafka, it's not a lack of sufficient mazik, it's some sort of a p'tur, or it's a svara, but it's a policy svara, right? Meaning, you know, as we discussed, the way the Rush reads the Rif and the Rambam. So it's very easy to say that that all that makes sense, right? But it's too much to expect, you know, that, you know, Reuven is going to, you know, inflict a loss on Shimon, the kind of loss which on a certain level he should be paying for. And not only is he not going to pay for it, but he's going to benefit from it, right? So legabe, the hana part, right, that's what I mean about it being kind of a mitzaref, right? Legabe, the hanoah part, it's a different kind of a, it's a different kind of a ma. That part of the hezek, you know, is kind of a quid pro quo. Or it's not included under the gzeres hakasuv, or it's not this mechudash gzeres hakasuv, or this mechudash svara, you know, of policy. Whereas if we were to say, oh, this isn't considered a maitza hezek, and there's just no basis for chiyuv, you know, then it sounds like all we have is mamoni gabach, and then we have to assess whether that's something that we think is sufficiently, you know, actionable in court, you know, or not. Yeah, you had a question? Nathan? We're good? Okay. So this is really the where the background of all of this comes from. Of course, again, the one other thing to mention. So again, just in terms of framework, are all mamoni gabach and mishtarshi basically the same? And do they belong in, you know, in some other idealized mishnah Torah? You know, I don't mean it so seriously, because, you know, who could do better than the mishnah Torah, really? But what I mean is, in an alternative universe, you know, the where the Rambam, of course, has choices, you know, he could have decided, you know, to collect, you know, all of mishtarshi together. That's one way to look at it, as opposed to each one being very much specific to its framework and its context, with the Hana in each case, you know, then you're going to get a much more uneven, you know, kind of distribution as well. Sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it won't, and sometimes it'll work ad kedei, you know, shenene, and sometimes the nene is just going to trigger it, and it's going to go to the chaser. We're going to get to that point in a second as well. But as I said, even, you know, when you think about it, there are still two more things to say on each side. On the side of, you know, of our sugya, for example, being a dinmazik, as I said, you could say that, you know, it's still very relevant because it's a model and a paradigm, you know, for other mamoni gabachs and ishtarshis that also work in a similar fashion, perhaps with some difference in detail. On the other side, on the mamoni gabach side of it, or the ishtarshi side of it, you know, what you might say, this is what I mentioned at the very end of the last year, is that there's always also a second question about, you know, the actionability of hana per se. And that is whether or not there aren't different types of hana or levels of hana. I'll explain what I mean in a minute, legally, and or in terms of the link, the, you know, the tracing or the, you know, between the hana and the place from whence, you know, it came. You know, if somebody were to say, whither, you know, hana, like, where did this hana come from? Did it just happen, you know, derech agav? Like, it's, you know, it just a result of the unfolding of circumstances? Or does it come directly from somebody? So the point I'm trying to make is that whether we're talking about chalos hana or chetza shal hana, the concretization of the hana, and I don't mean here, well, I could mean here that, but the concretization of hana, or the chetza of the hana, you know, could take the form of, you know, what kind of hana it is. Like, is there a difference between hana saguf, you know, and hana mamon? Obviously, a translatable hana saguf, hanas aguf that is translatable to mamon as opposed to merely hanas mamon. And what about hanas, you know, zuta or purta and hazahana yaseira? I don't mean how much, but I mean, you know, qualitatively a purta kind of a hana. Like we'll see in the Gemara in just a couple of minutes. You have, you know, the hana of the benefit you have of somebody living in your home, okay, which is a kind of an amorphous, you know, and, you know, hana. It's a question whether you can label that, you know, a legal hana or not. So that's one kind of a question. You know, how much hana is haguf? You know, how, you know, hana zuta, hana purta, that kind of a question. Is it possible that whether hana is considered to be a chalos, a legal category, sufficient to be actionable in court, you know, gufa depends on how much or, you know, what you know, what was sacrificed, you know, what, you know, how did it come about? Are there, you know, any adverse consequences to this hana? You know, what, it's ba al cheshbon, what or who? could that also give concreteness or greater concreteness, you know, to Hanok? That, I think, is a critical, critical question in understanding different Hanoks, and especially the role of Chaser and Nene, according to some, you know, perspectives. In addition, the question of, you know, from who, as I say, whither, from who's the source of the Hanok? So again, we can all understand that, you know, there's a Chaser, you know, so then there's a source. But it may be that without something like Chaser, that basically we look at this as like, you know, a gift, you know, a coincidence, not really a coincidence, a davar de mimela, a sheval tase. The more you can link a nene to a chaser or to something, you know, the more A, it's concrete, legally concrete, right, and therefore actionable, and B, the more it really is connected, mitzuraf, you know, to another part. So these are, even just starting from Yutes on the base, and what, you know, might have been a narrower, you know, understanding of this sugya, leaves us with A, a model, and B, with the possibility, you know, that that the relationship, you know, between Hana and Chaser, in this case Mazik, isn't, again, a model, even if you take a more Hana-centric approach to these issues and these questions. Okay. Again, the question of Rishus HaRabim gets discussed again on Chaf on the base, and we will still have to go through just a couple of the Rishonim, when the Gemara itself tries to bring a raya, right, on the question of Zenene Zelo Chaser. The Gemara tries to bring a raya from our Mishnah. If you recall, the Gemara says, Amalei Masnisen hi, quoting our Mishnah. And then Rava says, not such a good raya, right? Kama lo chali velo margish gavra de marisaye. Afagav lo dami le masnisen kabala mine. Kibla mine. Hai zenenev ze chaser, v'hai zenenev ze lo chaser. So is our Mishnah zenenev ze lo chaser or not? And then the Gemara says, in defense of the view that it was a good raya, that our Mishnah is talking about afkure mafkir. Right? And then Tosis points out that afkure mafkir, we talked about, sorry, Mr. reiterating for a second, that afkure mafkir is lavdafka, because if it was afkure mafkir, then why should you pay for the hana? It's really hefker. So it means, says Tosis, misyayish mehem, shesavor sheiskalkalu, machmas sherabim darsim aleim. Very strange. But it's very possible that this question, gufa, is either a question about what constitutes chaser, like just like the sugya has a range in what's considered nene, the sugya seems to have a range in terms of what's considered chaser. Right? Hano purta, chaser purta. Hano dafka, which is hano asaguf, and chaser, which is only, you know, or hana, which is active, you know, or hana, which even is passive. Chaser, which is active, or chaser, which is passive. Again, in the continuation of the Gemara, and the Raya is from, as we read last time, makif and nikaf, right? The benefits are sheval tasa, right? And the chaser is sheval tasa. You know, when it comes to schar dira, it's something in between, right? It's not, you know, chaser, you know, I'm knocking down the wall. I'm talking about avidi lemegar, and so on, or you know, omed, you know, leigra. In the end of the day, it's not as passive as makif and nikaf, not the hana, not the chaser, but it's not as active as mishalem ashenenis, you know, in an animal. Right? Unless you're not talking about the animal, but you're talking about the bailim, and even then, right? So what level, never mind the porta, you know, of chaser and the porta of nene, which we're going to get to, you know, the walls, the drisa, you know, not leaving the house vacant, you know, as a benefit, what are these exactly? So there's a whole question of how to define, you know, Hana and Chaser in these contexts. Surely that is very relevant to the questions that we're asking. Namely, is this all about Hana? And is even are the other things about concretizing or connecting the Hana? Or is it mostly that Hana is a mitzaref, you know, for the Chasers? Depending on what level of Hana and what level of Chaser you require, that could be very, very, very relevant to us. So again, part of the discussion in the Amoraim here, bring the Raya, whether or not the Mishnah on your Tesla base constitutes a case of Chaser or not, may just be plugged into this whole question. Namely, what do we mean by Chaser? What are the criteria that apply to Nene and to Chaser in terms of you know, how maximalist or minimalist need they be? However, more specifically, it also could just be the question of Rishus HaRabin, right? The way that, you know, the Bali Tosas discuss Afgure Mafgil Hu and so on, and probably they're right in terms of the simple pshat of the Gemara, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is nothing to do with the Ptur of Rishus HaRabin. Right? It just has to do with, you know, how you look at this particular loss. So then what that means is that loss, chaser, has nothing to do with actionability in court, per se, or some abstract question of what the law should have been, you know, in terms of what constitutes nezek. No, it has to do more specifically, you know, with just how we look at this particular chisaron in terms of the, in terms of the, you know, the nizak's expectations, you know, and so on. The likelihood that he is going to suffer a loss, meirosh, and therefore how it's, you know, how he absorbs it, etc. Although it's very difficult, you know, to formulate this well, which is what Tosas were bothered by. Right? What do you mean afkare mafkir? Then there's no name. Messiah. What is that? But it is possible to read the Gemara differently. And that is that in one of two ways. You know, one is either that the discussion in the Gemara, you know, whether, you know, the Mishnah is considered to be chaser or not, is a question about chaser, but a different question. The question being, chaser is defined by what is legally actionable, in which case the Ptur Rishus HaRabin is not chaser because it's not legally actionable, or it's defined by the actual loss that you absorb. And at the end of the day, you used to have you know, $100, and you know, this episode has left you with you know, with $75. You know, no question about that. There is chaser, but it's also a chaser, you know, which the courts, you know, are not able to collect. So that's the question, and that is certainly a formal legal question in the end of a chaser, or is it a shein v'regel b'rishus harabim p'tur rishus harabim question? And maybe that's what we mean by afkure mafkir lahu. That's what we mean is when a person puts his stuff in Rishus HaRabim, if you think the Ptur Rishus HaRabim, right, is Exeris HaKasuv, you know, or really he should be Chayiv, you know, that's one thing. But the other possibility, that should he really be Chayiv or should he really be Potter is what I'm trying to say. You know, if the Ptur Rishus HaRabim is something that's fundamental, there's no Maisa Hezek, right? Then that's not considered to be Chaser. That's what we mean. On the other hand, if we think it's Exeris HaKasuv and really should be Chaser, right, then Rava's right. It is chaser, just a ptur, right? Okay, so that's in terms of the implication of the Mishnah and some of the... Sorry, it took too long. Okay, so now let's turn our attention to Rabbah and Rava. So again, just have somebody just read the Shaka Matari just for a second. If you don't mind.
Yeah, don't
Kama Rava, the Kama.
The Kama, Rava and the Omer, Rava and the Son is all.
Yeah.
Tanya Kavasa Rabba, Tanya Kavasa Rabba,
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Then we have a discussion. Then we start having a discussion of Zin and right, the Zelachas. Good. So this is a very confusing, as we already mentioned last time. We raised some of the questions last time. What I want to do now is I want to be, I want to go into the Pratim, just what do the Rishonim and the Poskim say about these cases. But just before we begin, and this is, again, I'm repeating a little bit what I said last time, just to understand what's at stake here. You could look at this Gemara very seemingly in a technical way, but at least it's possible that this is a very important topic and debate. And depending on the actual shitos, we'll be able to extract some principles from this. Because in a certain sense, there is a bepashtus, and we'll see each parish in a minute. Bepashtus, Rabba and Rava are arguing about how to define mishale mashanetz, different ways to look at hana. So you could say, well, there are different ways to look at hana. And, mostly it's a technical kind of a question. Or you could say, that the different ways to look at hana aren't technical. They reflect different mechayvim. If you're taking a chaser, perspective on nene, that would be different than if you're taking a mamoni gabach chishtarshi nene perspective, on nene. I'll explain what I mean in just a second. In which case, this argument isn't just about, there are, three reasonable places to draw the line, which one? And thirdly, and that is, again, I said this last time also, it could be that even if there are reasonable different ways to define hana, that there's still a fundamental argument about something else, and that's it. And that is, are you likely default to be a maximalist or a minimalist when it comes to this question of hana, generating a chiyuv? Now, if you think the whole din of mishale mashanenis, right, is a default, compelling halacha, then you might be inclined to maximize that. In other words, if there's more than one way, to classify the hana, right? If you're an ardent, mishale mashanene or mamoni gabach or ishtarshi person, you're just going to be very comfortable with going for the maximum. On the other hand, if you think that the whole din of mishale mashanene is very mechudash, like, there's no contract, it sounds like there's no maisa, or not a sufficient one to be mechayivu. If there were, he should be mechayiv on mashachaser, those kind of things. And then the idea that, okay, but there is such a din, but you're likely to limit it. So this is potentially a very interesting argument. What makes it complicated is, number one, there's subtle differences in the options to choose from. And of course, technically, we just don't know the circumstances, absolutely. If you just look at the Gemara, there are some questions that we just don't have answers to, and that's where the Rishonim and the Mefarshim come in. Right? We don't know. What don't we know? That's not. Just in the Gemara, what we don't know, don't we know?
Well, what exactly the arrangement all means? You want to defeat an animal or something?
Did the guy eat Saurim?
Yeah.
Rashi says he ate Saurim. But the Gemara doesn't say that. Right? In theory, you might even have thought. I mean, that part of Rashi, I think, is very reasonable. But it's not Mukhrach. That's just the Gemara trying to figure out, there are several standards. There are standard, generic ways to look at animal food or animal feeding. There's the basic program, and then there's more like the deluxe.
Basic
we'll see that there are some Mefarshim who probably understand it that way. Rashi doesn't understand it that way. That, I think, is mostly compelling. Rashi seems to be thinking that the animal ate Seorim, and the question is, what the relationship, what the legal right ramifications are that, when there is Tether. What's also not clear, though, right, is, you know, how, what the relationship this person has, what does he normally feed his animal? And we don't know that in the Gemara. Again, Rashi is going to take a stand on it. Right? If you assume the guy, you know, there can be three possibilities. He never feeds his animal Seorim. Right? He feeds his animal Seorim all the time. Right? Or, you know, sometimes he feeds his animal Seorim, or maybe only when he gets a good deal he feeds his animal. You know, it's on sale, so he feeds animal Seorim. Okay? But depending on what these circumstances are, they put different pressure on the questions and the issues here. Because if this fellow normally feeds his doggy Seorim, or his catty Seorim, stick with the dog. But we'll take off the, you know, the connection of why in the end. If he normally feeds his dog, you know, Seorim, then Rabba needs to explain, right, why he would be Mishalim Bashanen is less. If he never feeds his animal Seorim, then Rabba needs to explain, you know, why he has to pay. Okay, the Zol part will be okay, but, you know, why does he have to pay Seorim? Or he ate Seorim, right? Let's say he sometimes does, if it's on sale. Right? So that's kind of an in-between. So there's a lot to think about here. What does Rashi actually say about all this? Most of it is clear in Rashi, but definitely not in the Gemara, and that leaves opening for other Rishonim. So that makes it confusing. But we just need to sort it out, which is what we're going to do in the next few minutes. Try. Okay, go ahead. What does Rashi say? Okay, so Rashi says that number one of the cases that the animal ate Seorim. Because? Yeah. Does it make clear whether... It doesn't sound in Rashi like he normally feeds the animal. Otherwise, because otherwise the taina isn't a very good taina, right? But it's not 100% clear. Okay. Probably the likelihood is in Rashi is that this fellow doesn't typically feed Seorim, right? And therefore he wants to get away with the generic, cheaper price. Okay, and the other fellow says, well, let's assume for a moment there's nutritional benefit, you know, from the more expensive meal. And he got it, even though that isn't what he usually does. But that would explain at least the Dmei Seorim Bezol. Yeah. Go ahead. Dmei Seorim Bezol. Now the Dilma Iu Lamach Ela Seorin is a little tricky. Ela Bezol. What do you mean Dilma? Like if Rashi had said this more definitively, that that's the situation, then that would have been very clear. Okay? But since Rashi says Dilma, it sounds like if we know that he does typically feed his animals Seorim, it may be, it sounds like, that he would have to pay the real price of Seorim, assuming that he always, you know, pays the real price. It doesn't wait for a sale. Right? That's number one. We'll see if that is muskam. That's reasonable, but we'll see whether that's muskam or not. If we're not sure, that's also what we're going to do. What if this fellow never does? Yeah, maybe that's the Dilma. Dilma iolo machel elabizol. So the whole bezol is also not so clear. Are there cases where it's more than bezol? Af mishen ragil, go ahead. And this is a problem. Kabo kabai. So there are different girso, there are different understandings of Rashi here, whether Rashi says you even would pay the extra quantity. Let's say, you know, there are two questions. One is the quality of the meal, and the other is the quantity of the meal. Correct? The pashtus in our Rashi, the way we have our girsa, is Fima Shadam Rach Acha Ragil Lutam Nemba Kavo Kavai. Afa Bishena Ragil Achila Sorin. Even if he doesn't usually, right? But he never does, we're not sure. Right? Ela Amir, and if he's regular, we'd pay the full price, maybe. Mishalim Lodme Sorim Kifima Shadam Acha Ragil Lutam Lubahemto, fine. But Kavo Kabayim, even if it's more than the amount that normally people would give. Okay. If you look at the little, in my Gemara here, they have an Os Yud. It says, Tzorch Lomar Velo Kavo Kabayim, which is the view of the Rashash, Al Pia Nemuke Yosef, and we'll see that in just a couple of minutes. But there's a debate about whether you distinguish between the quality of the food and the quantity. Let's say you give the animal too much. The animal eats too much. You would never feed him that amount. What's the difference between quantity and quality of food in this respect? Moshe, what do you think? What?
If it's a quality difference, I guess there's much more like less of a possible mysa ethic on the cow, because like the animal doesn't necessarily know the difference.
Oh.
But if it's just like your animal ate a lot more, that would be more like easily monitored as a...
So which would you pay for more, the quantity or the quality?
Quantity.
You think you'd pay more for the quantity? Interesting. But the mepharshim here are saying the opposite. They're saying you'll pay for the quality, but for the quantity, you're not going to pay. You could understand that too, right?
Yeah.
Meaning you gave Bowser, you know, champagne dog food. Not just it tastes better. It's better for him. Right? Nutritionally better, let's say. Then you might have to pay for that, or somewhat for that. But if you gave him, you know, he doesn't need to overeat. I'm assuming that that's the case. He doesn't benefit from giving him more, unless you're normally starving him. That's something else. Then quantity becomes quality. I guess we can't really know 100%. But we'll see in a moment, one would have thought that we would treat the quality and the quantity question the same. Right? Certainly if the issue was, well, in the end of the day, it's not what he would have done, it's what ended up happening. One would have thought that maybe they should be the same. But you could be mechalik in either direction, as we'll see. Yeah?
It seems like it goes even further with this when he says that. If you know that the animal was just fed by its owner,
yeah,
then you don't need to pay lashonaris at all.
Because it's like achila gasa.
Do
you say it's achila gasa?
He says it's not nannies.
Yeah. So that would be, okay, that's an interesting case. I didn't see that. But
it's like very similar.
That's in it's in Rami Sada?
He makes the deal on the Mishnah. So in nannies,
yeah, so that's really just based on the next line in the Gemara, but it's yeah. But it's still not so obvious. I mean, the next line in the Gemara is Lefika Chach Lachitin O Davar Hara Ptura. But you don't always pay.
The actual charge says the animal overeats unless it gets sick afterwards.
Yeah, but that's also Davar Hara.
But you still don't have to pay for the fact that they got 10 minutes before it got sick. But you don't take the whole entire picture into account. You sort of take in the maximum, the moment they got like the maximum amount.
As long as he did.
Yeah, at that moment, that's what you're paying for, and it's subsequently. Right.
Okay, so both of those are go on the list. They're both very interesting. Yeah, I'm sure some I won't speak about anyway. I just remember that line. But the that's a very interesting, these are very, very interesting questions. Again, so you could look at these kind of questions in a very narrow way. Like you could say, oh, there are different ways to look at Hana here. Short, let's say Yom Tov Shlomo, right? Short-term Hana, longer-term, you know, effect. The Gemara's case is, you know, you gave him food, but it's not food that's good for him. Right? Could be similar to the Yom Shal Shlomo kind of thing, but then we, the other way. Right? You're talking about more, than it's what I call
it, like
achila gasa, Meaning,
I'm mentioning is because the animal's getting a nod, just you as the owner isn't, which is a big killer.
Yeah. Well, okay, right. I mean, what's
that's
good?
That's not even lashing from all the Gemara is saying is if it damages the animal, so obviously that's not pleasurable for the animal.
Well, it might be pleasurable, it just may not be good for him.
Oh, right. Also,
it's hard to know. It's hard
to
know.
It's not managed.
I'm saying that's the Yamsa Shlomo in a way. Like, you know, he likes it.
Right.
You know, he's very happy. Spot's really thrilled. You know, just not good for Spot. So these are interesting questions. So you could look at all of them in this way. In other words, you know, yesh omrim shezana, yesh omrim short term, long term. The animal, the owner. The quantity, you know, the quality. Correct? Or you might start thinking about it in different ways. Either by saying, well, come on, ein l'chol ela chidusho, you know, we're not going to look at this, you know, in a way that maximizes the chiyuv. The lowest, you know, likely, or the you know, the most, you know, undeniable hana, but not more, you know. Or no, the opposite. You know, mishalim ashenene. It's like a real chiyuv. You should charge him, you know, what makes sense to the man. You still have to be magdir hana. Or, even further, what I was saying before, which is, depends on the mechayev. Are you really looking at here from the chaser point of view or from the hanah point of view? By which I mean, well, we're not looking at it from the chaser point of view completely, because then, you know, it wouldn't matter at all. It would just, you know, the baal is chaser chitim, you know, and davara too, right? Because they're worth money to him, and it's not mishali masha hizik here. It's mishali masha nene. So. But short of that, are we going to say Mishali Masha Chaser, Legabe Masha Nene? Right? In which case, again, especially if you're on the fence and you're saying, you know, the whole patur here is kind of shaky. So then you'd say, well, you know, it's really a Chiyu Mazik, Legabe what there is Hana for. So as long as it's not Hana, that's what it's going to be. Again, that works in both directions, because sometimes the chaser, you know, perspective is worth more than the nana perspective. Like here. Let's say we were to say here that from the perspective of the owner, of the nana, right, the hana is more limited. It's what I would have saved in my grocery bill, you know, but I wasn't going to buy him, you know, premium Cheerios. I was going to buy him generic Cheerios. You know, those things, if I am, you know, whatever. You know, I was going to get a knockoff Cheerios, not Post or Kellogg's, right? But he ate Post and Kellogg's. And they charge more. Right? The other guy lost more. Like, so what is that? On the other hand, if it's, you know, what he ate, as long as it was Hana, not just Hezek, right, the Heftza itself is Post and Kellogg's. Right, it's Sorin. So which is it? And the same question can be asked about quantity. So if you look at it, you know, from a Chaser point of view, you're going to say one thing. What did he save? I'm sorry, what did he lose? You know, what is the source of the benefit? What Heftza was eaten? Right, and what Heftza was taken away from its owner? But if you're looking at it from a pure nana point of view, you know, that's probably a different story. So you can see what's going on here, I think, beneath the surface. Okay, so let's now, we've spoken a lot abstractly, let's just really go quickly to some concrete questions. So, for Rashi, there are things that we don't know. Okay, let's go one by one. So for Rashi, for Rabbah, you only pay what you would have saved, even though you're benefiting more, because the sorim is more beneficial. We're only paying Dmei Amir, correct? Yeah. Is that true even if occasionally when it's on sale you would pay for more for Rabbah?
Unclear.
I agree. But an important question, right? It would be Mechudash if that were true. What about if he actually always pays, you know, for the premium, He always pays Sorin. Can he say, well, I didn't buy this, right? And therefore, and I could always change my mind and give him generic. Rashi, you know, quotes a taina here. He says, I'm going to get him generic. Is that a tour because of the taina, or that's a reflection of the fact that we don't really care? The hagdara of the hanah here is just the generic minimum. Hard to know in Rabbah, right? Okay, so we're going to get that back to that in just a second, in terms of other Rishon. Regarding Rabbah, they say there's also some questions to ask. This is about chaser to the point of hanah, or this is, no, just within hanah itself. Why shar hazol? Also, the dilma that we discussed before. Again, Rashi means, no, this is what he does. He only buys it on sale. That makes shar hazol very understandable. Or no, shar hazol is a minimum, even if that's not his typical practice. And according to Rashi, somebody who's ragil, you know, in Seorim, no matter what, would pay the full price. Sounds like it. Maybe. Okay. Good. The language of Rabbah, the Kavase de Rabbah, sounds like there's some sort of a limitation. That's probably responsible for some of the confusion here. The Gemara says, Tani Kavase de Rabbah. So what would we have expected there in Tani Kavase de Rabbah? That there would be this, you know, ringing endorsement about paying the maximum amount. And instead, you get this very ambivalent, right? Tani kavasi d'rava, im nenes, mishalemes mashan nenes, ketzad, ochle kavo kavayim, einorim tishalim demeya. Right, that was the last thing that I was expecting for a tanya kavasi d'rava. Right, because relative to Rabbah, you know, he's embracing the higher price. So it sounds like even within Rava, there's a cheshbon going on here as to what really constitutes, you know, a fair. Because one could have said, oh, it's the cheftza that was nechal, which gave the hana. Maybe you don't want to go further and say, oh, let's say what happens if, you know, again, you know, it's not a davara like chitim or davara, but let's say the extra price doesn't benefit you either. Right? Let's say it's not sa'orim that are good, better for you than amir. Let's say it's, kusemes, you know, which is good for you, but not any better than sa'orim, but costs more than sa'orim. Right? Are you going to pay for that too? Because that is the cheftza of what he lost, the other guy. And that's the chefta which gave the benefit, and it is still beneficial. Or does it have to be a chalos where the particular chefta's higher cost is still connected to a actual benefit? I don't know. But that's an important question about the mechayvin, about the hagdara. Either way, maybe that's afilu kavo kabayim, el omdin kam adam rotza lahachel abhem tadavra roila, afa pisha ina rogin. So according to the Pashtus of Rashi, I think, what this means is that we're talking about the price. We're trying to explain why the shahr is bezol and it's not a full amount. Correct?
Yeah. Rashi throws in the amount.
What?
Rashi also throws in the amount question.
Yeah, but because Rashi also throws in the quantity part, the kav of the kabayim, that's what opened, you know, it up to some of the achronim to understand differently. Okay? So the, I think I told you to look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Chiddushan Sheim. Chiddushan Sheim understood the way we read it, which is that Rashi only means to explain why Shar Bezol. Right? Don't think you have to pay top dollar for the Kellogg's and the Post, you know, only when it's on sale, which makes it worth more than the generic. You know, the generic is always a dollar. When it's on sale, it's, this stuff is $2. And when you buy it, you know, complete, it's $3. So you have to pay, why $2 instead of $3? The answer is because his benefit, but he's also not ragil. That's the way to read Rashi. However, the Rashash and others, Shulti Giborim, they understood that Rashi was saying, because they had this other girsa, they don't think you have to pay the full amount. The quality, for the fact that it's, you know, that it's post and it's Kellogg's, you know, for the fact that it's Orim, that you have to pay for. But, you know, if the animal's going to overeat, now again, because the overeating part is a kilkul, and then you get into your Yom Shel Shlomo and your Netziv, right? Like Achila Gasa, or that isn't the point. Maybe the point simply is that, you know, you're rugil to feed the animal, you know, this amount, and therefore that's not considered, from your point of view, that's not, maybe not from his point of view either, that's not considered to be, beyond that, is not considered to be under the rubric of nana. The qualitative discrepancy, if you're getting better food, it tastes better, it's more nutritious, you know, that counts, that's a chalos. You can charge that part of nana. But this part, even though it's the source, right, and it's the chaser, it's the source of hana, and it's also the chaser to the bailim, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. Okay. So now let's look at some other Rishonim, because again, Rashi leaves us with many questions. So let's look at the... who's reading? Matan, you're reading? Yeah. So let's look at the Rama and the Nebuke Yosef, the Nebuke Yosef and the Rama. Just to... What?
I think
well, the riff. What do you want to say about the riff? I mean, the psak question. What?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, get it on the record. We're going to discuss psak in a minute, but yeah, get it on the record. Yeah. So yesh v'yesh. The riff says yesh v'yesh. There's an interesting diyun in the Rishonim here about halacha kibasra as opposed to halacha kitalmid b'makom rabba. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes, but it's a very interesting, because we have a range of views.
Yeah.
There are people paskin like rabba, there are people paskin like rava. The Rif says yesh v'yesh. Some people, Nebuka Yosef included and others, the Rajba, thought that the Rif was basically saying I'm the stopping. The Rambam, as we know, is really difficult because, like the Rif, the Rambam seems to record both Rabba and Rava. But in Rif, it's clear, yesh, you know, it's about psak. And the Rambam, which is a closed book, not a perush, not even a psak perush on the Gemara, and B, he doesn't mention the names. He just says, you know, one or the other. Right? Do you have language of the Rambam?
Yeah, he passes on the Pesach Mishnah, so he does pass in one.
Like Rava.
Yeah.
Sounds more like Rabbi. Should the Gibari points that out? We'll get to that. What?
Yeah.
So we'll get back to that. Or but then he has a whole parish in the end that actually tries to work it out. Right?
Yeah. Sure.
But in the Rambam?
Yeah.
Yeah, read the Rambam. Well, Shilti Gibari we'll hold off on for a second. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he says both.
Yeah.
Right? Not both. Even the Rif doesn't say one or the other. He just says, yesh, yesh, people hold like this, people hold like that. So in addition to there being closed work, and he doesn't say anything about Safek and Tafas and we'll get back to the Perushim on the Rambam in just a minute. And Perushim Mishnayos does sound more like Rava. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe you could say that Demes, that's specifically
Demes Sarim
Bezol, because that's equivalent to Demes Omer.
That's what?
Equivalent to Demes
Omer. What do you mean equivalent? Demes Sarim Bezol is equivalent to Demes Omer?
Yeah, monetarily it's the same.
If it is, but if it isn't?
Then
So I'm saying, if you look at the Mefarshim on the Rambam, we'll get to it soon, some of them do think, no, some of them, number one, the Magen Mishnah, I just want to get to this, oh, hold off. You know, just mention a second, then we'll continue with it in a second. But the Magen Mishnah says that the Me'amir actually doesn't, in the Rambam, doesn't mean Tevin. Right? It means, what is it? What's the Rambam's language?
Agudas
HaShibalim. Okay, so that's, we'll get to that in a second. He thinks that's different than Amir, number one. The Lecha Mishnah says, oh, it depends. He likes that. And he says, it depends which one is cheaper. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. That's a little bit, kind of, I guess, like what you're saying a little bit. But I think it still needs to be. You're assuming that they're the same price.
Maybe.
They assume not.
Yeah.
But they assume that you pay the cheaper of the two. The Rambam didn't mean. But is that misafek? Well, that condition says it's misafek. The Shulta Giborim thinks it's not misafek. They think something else is going on here completely. The Shulta Giborim is of the opinion, what I said at the outset, which is that the case is not where the animal ate Seorim. Right? The animal ate something else. The animal ate Kusbin. Shumshimin. Yeah. So the animal ate something else. And the question is, at what rate or what standard are you calculating the Zenana? So interesting. We'll get back to that. Okay. But before we get to that, so the Psak question we'll get to. But especially the Rambam. Let's hold off on that for just a second. Let's just do the Perushim a little more first. What does the Nimuk Yosef say here? On lo kav lo kabayim. Second line, second wide line. Wait, where are you reading?
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just reading.
It's the first line, first wide line.
Oh, you're the first wide line. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah, I see, right. Yeah. Al pishen rogel achilo sorim. Okay, velo kav velo kabayim. Meaning what?
You just give the normal amount, not like the standardized amount. But I have
correct.
Three different gersals here about what could potentially be going on.
What are the three different gersals?
So one I have O, not below.
Oh, you have. What are you reading? The Bach?
I have on the Masoi Sarif. I have.
Oh, you have a fancy thing there.
I don't know, but...
Oh, so what does he have? Go ahead.
I have one case that says, Okabayim, Lokav Okabayim.
Velokav Okabayim? Okay.
Velokav Okabayim.
Yeah, but that doesn't really change it.
That doesn't change much. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's one case.
What else?
I just have the Maram.
Okay. Well, what does the Ramah say? This is very important.
Wow.
So what is the Ramah's shita? The Pashtus. The Misha Ragil B'Sa'orim. So you would have thought from Pashtus of Rashi, it's not clear 100%. If he's Ragel B'Sa'orim, again, he always goes to a store and buys this dog food, you know, for spa. Correct?
Yeah.
And now, Spot ate the neighbors the same food. So it one would have expected under those circumstances. And he always pays top dollar. Right. Nonetheless, since it was not, you know, Wilf, it wasn't on his volition, he gets a cheaper rate. That's very mechudash. That's an example of Mishalim Mashanenis, where we're Alpidin, right, trying to minimize it. We can't minimize it too much. We're not going to say Dmei Amir, but at least we're minimizing, you know, within Dmei Seorim, the amount. Doesn't sound like Wayne Rashi at all. Okay. I think that the Bach did not understand it that way, right? There. Avon Rogel Itain Behemto Seorim Divrei HaKoldim Misharinon Lebedidei Kimo Dehava Nichalei. The Bach read the Ramah, or didn't want to read the Ramah against Rashi in that way, meaning that if you're ragil to feed Seorim, that you pay the full price. So in Shed, he changed it that if you're rugil for Seorim, then you only have to pay the quantity, you know, that you normally give. Correct? So what that means is, that totally changes the whole trajectory of the Rama. Because the Bach's reading of the Rama, again, I don't think that's what the Rama said, but I think it's curious that the Bach thought that it could be. I mean, according to the Rama, it's not, the Chumrah is not, or the Kula is not, you know, it's not really a Kula for the Ragil Bo. It's a Chumrah for the Mishaina Ragil Bo. Meaning that if you, ironically, if you usually feed your animal this same food, so you pay full price, but there's no reason to veer, right, from the regular protocol that applies when you feed your animal. So you get the chumrah, the reasonable chumrah of the price, but you're not also going to pay an additional mishalim hashenenes for the quantity. Whereas it sounds like, actually doesn't say that. Okay, you know, it doesn't actually. What's the Bach saying? Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I think I'm mixing them up. The Bach understood the Rama the way that we did. I take it back. The Shulti Giborim, I think. You're right, right. You have it, Asher? Yeah, here, Vaharama. On the first wide line? Of the, not the widest, but the wider lines? Yeah. What is that? What?
Yomet.
What?
Or meaning, if you don't generally feed Seorim, so then we don't have any clear way of defining how much.
And therefore, it's defined by what was consumed. Right? Quality and quantity. But if you typically feed your animal good quality food, and then the animal ate that quality food, then the fact that it's within the pattern of your normal purchases, right, will also end up being a kula for you. Correct? Okay. So that's a very interesting, so the chiddush is not, it's ironic a little bit. Normally you would think if he's ragil achila b'saorim, then he should pay more. Right? The Shulta Gibarim is saying no. Because then it's just more clear cut what constitutes mashanana. Whereas for everybody else, you're out of the box, you're out of your usual formula. And therefore it's just defined by the chaser, or what it is that brings the hana. But whether it's quality or quantity, both of those matter. Okay?
Within our way of reading the Rama, how do you understand the line of Shir might not be on the Daiti Dabanikalai?
In the Inamuk Yosef, the line of the Ramah? The Kosa Ramah, Dehu Adin Laman Deragi Lases Les Orim, Dekim De Bakarcha Kud De Mesanes, Lo Mishalem, Ela Shir Ma De Amdina Ledaite De Havanichalei. Well, assuming the Hu Adin part is right, I mean, in this case, but at, and that. So why is that different than Rashi then? I thought it was either Demei Zol or something in between. I mean, you could adjust it according to what he would want in this case. In other words, otherwise it's exactly what Rashi says. Right. And how's the Bach saying it again? Oh, sorry, it's taking too long, but it's a very complicated to read these. Avol Imrogi Litein the Behemtos Saorim. 1 second. Divrei Hakol Dimisharinu Legabe Lei Bididei Kemo Dehavanichale. I'm saying the same thing. Kemo Dehavanichale. Vedate Dehavanichale. Sorry?
I think it's easier to read it the way Bach's reading it, that it's not really a Hu Adin, it's saying, no, someone's rogi l'sorim comes out differently.
Yeah, yeah.
The owner.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So, so that perspective basically means that there's a kula for that person, but the kula is based on the kula is despite the fact, you know, that he is rogil. Right? Whereas for Shilta Giborim, there's a kula because he's Ragil. For Shilta Giborim, you would, if he wasn't Ragil, he would also pay the quantity. Correct? And for the, and the other reading basically says that, you know, even though he's Ragil, right, he still gets a break. In both cases, the ragil, yeah, there's a kula for the ragil. I'm saying it's a totally different kula. Right. Okay. The and what about the Nebuki Yosef himself? What? Yeah. This is where we get to the halacha part. That's what I'm getting. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so this is one of the, what I was alluding to before. Then if you look at Shilta Giborim and some of the other Mefarshim Alatar, this is a big discussion whether we say halacha kibasroi only in a Talmud who outlived the Rebbe, or where the root of the argument wasn't, or they argued together, right? In other words, so you look at this as different phases, like Huva Mokom Rabo, you give Rabo the edge. You know, it's only when he's a senior man later on, A, there's no direct conflict with Rabo, even though he's taking issue with a psak of his, but it's not, you know, a direct mikuach. Moreover, we say, oh, well, now, you know, he's also... you know, progressed, you know, in terms of his stature and his instinct and all of these things. So it's a fascinating argument, you know, a meta-halachic question about the relationship between, you know, a halachic Talmud b'makom rabo versus a halachic basroi. And there are different formulations in this and many other sugyas as well. Shulta Gemara asks from here on, the sugya later on, of Gabi Zora Kli Mirosh Agag, which is also a Rabba and Rava. Yes, I have different formulations here. You know, when this din applies, but that's very obviously very interesting as well. Okay. The Talmud Rosh Maharajba, very quickly, also seems to disagree with the Rashi. Did anybody look at it? Yeah? Got it?
I didn't see it, but
I think I gave it on the Marmon Cups, right?
Could be.
I didn't bring it on the plane. That was my mistake.
You didn't bring it on the plane? What did you bring on the plane? No, I'm joking. Okay, very quickly, though, because it's getting late. Taking much longer than I thought. But Talmud Rosh Varash says, even Misha Ragil Bisaorim were Mekel, the way I understood the Ramah, right? But he says it not only for Rava, or not primarily for Rava, but for Rabba. Now, this is a question we weren't sure about in Rashi. According to Rabba, who says that you pay Dmei Amir, you pay the generic, is that true even for somebody who always, we weren't even sure of like somebody who occasionally, but what about a person who always, he would never feed Spot anything less than Sorim. He's got a standing order for Sorim. And, you know, in the local, pet food store in his neighborhood. Right? But still, you can still get away with paying generically? You have it? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Nathan, go
ahead.
Wow. That's Mechudash. That's not in Rashi. That's not... It seems in Rashi that wouldn't be true, right? Not 100%, but I mean, so again, he has to make the taina. That I don't know. You know, it's like taninan. You know, in taninan, do you have to make the taina, or taninan means we make the taina for you, not because we're making the taina for you, but because you don't need the taina because this is the halacha. I'm not 100% sure. Again, the more radical, more interesting way is that the taina is just another way of saying that al pidin. Since, it still was, he didn't do it. This is what he would normally get. If you ask, what is he saving here? The answer is Dmei Sa'orim. Or maybe Dmei Sa'orim Bezol. Let's even assume not. Dmei Sa'orim Mishale. But what is he chayiv to pay? Dmei Amir. That's an important shita. That says that Zen and Mishale Mashanenis is a reduced halacha. And therefore it's defined in a more generic, minimalist way. The amount that you can't deny. Because he could have, the taina is a shear in what he could have. Not in what he really saved. Or this, you want to call that saving, as opposed to whatever. Again, I don't want to get into the nomenclature so much. But you get the idea. Does he say it also for Rava? No. Could you be mechalek between Rava and Rabba? Maybe, right? In terms of, in other words, again, for Rava, if he was Rugil, would you also get the break of Zol? That was the question we're discussing, with the Ramah and so on. And here we're discussing, for Rabba, do you get the break of Amir, even if you're Rugil? Yeah, so this is a very important sheet. Now, the Amshel Shlomo also is an interesting shita. You seems like you read it. I gave it a look at, right? The one in Tesfav.
Maybe.
What? What do you mean maybe? What's the maybe coming from? Oh, you didn't see the Marmon Gomos?
Yeah, I just read whatever.
What?
Yeah, I just read whatever.
Oh, not that you didn't get them. You were just being independent. Say, I'm not going to look at the Marmon Gomos. Good for you. Okay, but it sounds like you saw everything. And you remember, I there was a piece in the Yom Shom, I didn't recall that line about that. So that's very good. Okay, so he's more, again, very Mako. Even Rava, if you're Rugil Ba'amir.
Yeah, if you only have it once in a while, then he says you have to be Machmir and have Dmei Sa'orim Bezol.
Say that again?
If you feed your animal Dmei Sa'orim every once in a while, then even though this time you only ate, even though the animal only ate Dmei Amir, you still have to pay Dmei Sa'orim Bezol because that's what you'd like to pay or whatever, if you could afford it.
Wait a minute, I thought he said like this. One second. You'll read inside a second. I think I'm mixing up Amir and even for Rava. One second. I'm sorry. Now, even for Rava, I thought he says, if you normally feed the guy, feed them ba'amir, you pay ba'amir. Correct? You have lime? Read. I thought he says that the argument between them. No, I'm saying it wrong. I got it mixed up. Maybe you actually said it right. Even for Rava, if you're ragil ba'amir, I was thinking Sorim. If you're ragil ba'amir, according to Rava, you should only pay ba'amir.
Correct.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
Meaning Rava will agree with Rava that if you're ragil, you know, if you only buy the generic, right? Then even though he ate a more nutritious, higher level, right? You will still only pay the generic. In other words, it's not defined by the objective benefit from the cheftza, even in its lowest iteration, Mishalim Bazal, which according to Rashi, it may very well be. Not 100% clear, as we noted. According to Rashi, this person never does, right? Or is not regular. It's the debate between, so that's Chiddush in Rava. Because Rava will not, you know, define Mashanenis by the reality, even the beneficial reality, right? If there is enough of a pattern, right, of generic, right? Again, this is kind of the opposite. The Talmud Rosh Raja was saying, for Rava, you give him the generic, even if you never would. He pays the generic, even though he never would, right? And now we're talking about even Rava, right, would agree that you pay the generic if you feed him the generic. Okay. What is the debate about?
It's in a case of animal, when you
normally le'itim.
Yeah.
Then, so it depends. He goes to the store. It depends what mood he's in. Maybe it depends on the price, whether Spot was, you know, behaving or not behaving. Maybe, who knows? Le'itim. Oh. But that's a chiddush. For a little bit of a chiddush, then for Rava, that you'll always pay generic. Not as big a chiddush, but you'll always. In other words, according to Rava, if it's on your radar screen or your shopping, agenda, right? Then if it's objectively beneficial and that's what brought the hana, you'll pay for it. Albeit bazal, maybe they only buy it bazal, or maybe that's that is a halacha, that part of it. Right, but for Rabba, even though it's on your agenda, right? Since it's not, you know, the dominant factor, you'll go with the generic. Okay, so that's important. Then he adds that other part that you told that you mentioned.
He also has that if you buy normal soy, if you normally feed something, you have to pay a full price on to make certain results.
Say again?
If you normally feed it soy.
Yeah, if you normally feed it soy. That's, I think, Pashtus and Rashi also.
But he says. I think he wants to be holy. I think he says Rashi. He didn't understand Rashi like that.
Right. You have the line there? Oh, you don't have it with you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so the Amshol is very, very important. Then finally, you have the Meiri that I wanted to mention, because that's in the other direction. That's the opposite. See that?
Yeah.
Okay, what does the Meiri say? They only argued about a behema she'ena regila b'sa'orim. Because otherwise, Rava would be moda. Am I saying it right? She'ena regila klal b'sa'orim. One second. What's that? You have it? Yeah. On the Mishnah. Let's read slowly. Go ahead.
Yeah. in turn after. Prepares your Gemara to after even low high regular feels or in bow. Tevin or Amir Mishan Mom Mechir Kas or in Bezol. It's on a lower Pavos in Swish. Mechidei Shabim. She on the Omer in Bechol Adam. Hanim no Malachas or in Bebehento. She alu Yimsas or in Bezol. She is Karnu. She who knows in Gidei Lechaska. Achetiz Bo Allah Karai. Ulfi. Darkeith Mamanet. She im Afla Dvar Marai. Mabtur Mechul.
So what does it say?
So,
Dafka Machmir, right? What's he saying there?
First, he's saying that even if you regularly, so since you if you regularly give him a certain shear, so even if he eats a sa'ad, so you pay the makel shear of what you regularly give. So that's the first point. And then he says that even if you never give sa'orim at all.
Correct. Even if you never give sa'orim at all,
so then you still have to pay.
Meaning Rava.
For Rava, yeah.
Even though you never give him Sa'orim.
Right, even if you never give Sa'orim ever, in this case, since he eats Sa'orim, so you have
and
to
it's beneficial, Sa'orim. So you have to pay Sa'orim Bezol. Right. That's why I say it's the opposite of the Yom Shalom was saying, right, if you're Ragil Ba'amir, then you must pay Ba'amir. And the Be'iri is saying, even if you're Lagamri Lo Ragil B'Sa'orim, right, meaning you're only Ba'amir, that you will, or just not even Ragil B'Sa'orim, that you will pay, right. So the Chiddush of Rava is that you will pay, albeit Bezal, right, but even in something you would never ever do. So I just trying to demonstrate with all this. Again, Mitzvah Ragel B'Sa'orim, you pay the full amount, even according to Rabbah. That he also says, right? Even according to Rabbah. And Kol Shekein L'Rabbah. Does he have that line too?
Not in
maybe in a different place? That if you constantly eat Sorim, then you don't even get Bezol, even according to Rabbah. Okay, just to sum up here, and then I want to talk about the Rambam just for a minute. So basically what I'm just trying to show is that we have a range of views which highlight, you know, within Rabbah and within Rabbah, or to suggest that the debate between Rabbah and Rabbah, right, is about some of the cases which are contrary, let's say intuitively, you know, confusing or intuitively contrarian, you know, to our thinking. In other words, there are those who perceive that even according to Rava, right, we try to minimize, you know, the chiyuv of nana relative to the expectation of what the Hanas seems to be. We have those who think that even according to Rabbah, right, we actually expand that obligation in a significant way. And then, of course, the more mainstream view also records in a more moderate way an argument, and that is that Gufa, the machlokas between Rabbah and Rava, right, revolves around this question, namely whether you are likely to be expansive or more, you know, overly expansive, more restrictive. Then, of course, you have different shitos. Sometimes the Kiddush is in Rabbah, and sometimes the Kiddush is in Rava. In other words, everybody will agree that, you know, that either the expansion or the restriction is going further than you would have expected, one or the other. You know, one within Rabbah, namely Rabbah's view, which is that you're Mekel, so if you're Mekel even more, you know, that's shocking. Rabbah's view that you're Machmir, and if you're Machmir even more, that's shocking. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is that when you pin down, very hard to pin down these cases, obviously, but when you pin down the cases, you end up with a certain perspective on what is he saving, what is chaser, right? What is chefta that's bringing benefit, and whether or not these criteria alone determine, and especially when there are more than one model out there, whether we're mekel or machmir, and that's very important for our vigor. I'm going to run a minute. Okay, stop. The just in terms of the psak, and then I want to talk about psafra, and then we'll pick up the other things next time, is the following. So we already talked about, Gematan is very good about this, about, you know, who says what. Rabbi Hananel Paskins, I'm saying the Rif Paskins like both. The Mukhi Yosef and others say the Rif is Mistapek. Rabbi Hananel Paskins like Rabba. Okay. The Rajba and the Rush quote the Ravid. They Paskin like Rabba. Right? So you have the range. You have Rabba, you have Rava, you have both, and the both could be a Safek. And then you have this really strange Rambam, right, who you know, doesn't mention Tevin, but Agudas, what is it called? Agudas Hashibala. I mean, I don't know what that is exactly. Right, it's not an organization, but, you know, it's a, something. The Magen Mishnah makes note of that. Right, you have the line in the Magen Mishnah? Actually, the first thing the Magen Mishnah does is that he wonders, you know, the biggest question, how could you have both? One is Rabba, one is Rabba. So the Magen Mishnah says, oh, it's like the, if you don't mind reading it, it's like the Rif, it's Suffolk. That's also strange. So number one, it's strange to think that the Rambam is a Safek here, because again, if you're writing a parish on the Gemara and we have Rabba and Rabba, and you want to say I'm not sure what a Paskin like, it's one thing. But if you're a reader, you know, who doesn't know the Gemara, you know, and he's reading and the Rambam says, give him either one, either this or that, you don't even know what that signifies. Right? It's very hard to say that really is Safek. Also the Magen Mishnah is strange in that he says whichever one is higher? Whichever one is lower, rather?
Lower.
Right. I mean, so wouldn't you expect that, you know...
Rambam should say that explicitly.
What?
Rambam should say that explicitly.
Yeah, you should say whichever one is lower, because that would be more helpful, obviously. Depending on what... You know, it doesn't have to be only those two things that the animal ate, right? Unless, you know... Or at least he has to tell what these things signify, and he doesn't. Yeah. Also, if the Magen Mishnah really thinks it's a suffix, so the suffix is whether you have to pay the higher or the lower, not that you should end up paying whichever is lower. But maybe that has to do with the second point, which is that it isn't Tevin, it's Agudas Sashivali. But okay, that's the Magen Mishnah, very strange. Again, it's not his fault. I mean, he's dealing with a serious problem. The Lechem Mishnah, on the other hand, it's a little more interesting. Like the Magen Mishnah, but he says, well, where do you get it from? Go ahead. He zeroes in on that last point of the Magen Mishnah without mentioning that it's the point of the Magen Mishnah, right? Yeah. He says they're not, that the either the Rambam wrote it this way is, you know, to tell you you pay the lower of the two if they're, but that means that sometimes the Agudas Ashibalim is worth more than the Sorin.
Yeah, which is what he says.
What?
Yeah, he says sometimes one's worth more than the other.
Yeah, so that's really strange because what's the yichus of it? Isn't the whole point that you know, that you could always save money by buying the cheapest one? So that's not me to be in Suffolk. That becomes the generic. So I just want to make the point that if you hold like a Lechem Mishnah, it sounds like there are different standards, you know, in this Mashan and this case. Meaning, you know, there's the generic, I guess, food. And then there's the cheapest food. Or maybe there's like, you know, two levels, like, you know, the... You know, the the generic one and the more like, you know, getting the biggest, you know, nutritional dog food, you know, bang for your, you know, for your shekel one. I mean, what are these two categories? This is what I'm trying to say. Moreover, definitely not clear in the Rambam that Sorim was eaten, right? And if it was, a Lechem Mishnah would really be difficult because, you know, Sorim was eaten and you'd and there would be some Havamina that you would pay a higher price, and it's only because of Suffolk that you wouldn't. So it sounds like, and this is already where you got to get a little into the Shulchan Gibborim, maybe, is that maybe the Rambam is not dealing at all with eating Sorim versus a generic. But that these are like two standards within, you know, Mashanen. And everybody agrees you don't have to pay what the animal actually consumed, maybe even if it is nutritional, you know, or better. But that there are two kind of, you know, standards out there. Again, I don't know what they are. I have no clue, you know. Maybe one is the cost, or maybe one is the generic food, and you know, the other is, you know, the better quality, or better for this and better for that. I don't know what it is. And the Rambam saying you could choose either one, meaning you never have to do what you ate, but there are two that you could choose from, and maybe they do fluctuate, right? Okay, so that is for the Lechem Mishnah, and you get something similar to Shulchan Gibborim. We'll get there in a second, but yeah. What about the Kesef Mishnah? Very strange. Kesef Mishnah basically destroys the whole sugya. Kesef Mishnah basically destroys the whole sugya for the Rambam. We didn't need to spend an hour and a half on this, right? Maybe we shouldn't have anyway. But it is an interesting question if you can try to pin it down, right? What's like the Kesef Mishnah? He basically says there's no machlokas between Rabbah and Rambam.
Meaning? So essentially, if at the beginning of the katsu, then it's called Amir, but at the end of the katsu, then
it's a different types of year. You're going to people are no egg to give, you know, to give their animals this kind of food in that kind of year. I don't know why. Does it have to do with the climate or the how readily available the food is? Anybody here in no like botan, no Yitzi, you're saying? Yitzi?
Joey.
Oh, Joey knows physics and he knows all about animal eating habits? Okay. Right? It's very strange. Okay. Anyway, the Kesef Mishnah basically says there's no machlokas between Rava and Rabba. The whole sugya doesn't exist. Yeah.
There's 2 points. One, on the shibolim, they're just like the unprocessed stalks, and you pull the kernels out. So just that's what they have stalks around, where they have the pre around. They have the sorghum kernels around. It's just whether they process the food or not, they can just hand it to the animal.
I mean, it's unprocessed food or processed food?
Yeah, but it's still the same nutritional value. Because it's the same. They're going to get.
Oh, the values. No, for the Kesef Mishnah. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess the price is, of course, different because the processing, I guess. Yeah. But why different times of the year? I guess that's what
you harvest at time A and you process.
Because you have more. You'd rather give your dog good food, but you know during that time of the year where it's are they taking it for themselves? Oh my goodness!
Like another point. The Rambam adds in.
Yeah.
The Rambam adds in. This idea of, I'm not sure how significant it is, the Rowan Osam Kilu Hin Sorin Olam here. So the Rambam's dealing with, he didn't eat Sorin at all, he ate loads.
I'm saying it's clear the Rambam, he didn't eat Sorin.
Right, but it's more of like a halachic fiction of Rowan Osam Kilu Hin Sorin Olam here.
Right, so I'm saying because those.
By saying Sorin, by saying, oh, we look at the entire interaction as Sorin Olam here. We don't say, oh, Sorin's just a sheer in how much animal food or how much savings you had. We saw the Nezek that happened was Sorin Olam here.
The Nezek wasn't something else. Right.
Literally, it was something else, but the Rambam was the
need
to jump to
Kilo. No, but isn't that what we've been saying all along? That's the redefined, because the din of Mishalim Mashanena isn't about Chaser, right? It's about Nene, and it's not about the Cheftza. It's about you know, just kind of calculating the benefits.
I can take it's the savings of the Baal Habehemoth.
It is the savings, of it, isn't it? I mean, we don't care what you ate. We care what you... But within that, especially if you take the view... Not the Kesem Mishnah. Not about the... again, the Kesem Mishnah just does... There's no debate, but there's nothing to talk about, kind of, in the Kesem Mishnah. It's just hard to believe. But you know, for everybody else, and it sounds like in the Rambam, that somehow there are just two standards of what constitutes a generic, you know, feeding of the, you know, food, generic foods. And they're just different. Right? Okay. So the Shulchan Gibarim says something like this as well. That's what, you know, I wanted to come back to. And first he points out again the Pirush Mishnayos and the Rambam says Pascha the Grova. Then he goes on to say that Dmei Sorim Bezol is relative to what the guy really, what the animal really consumed, right? And the argument is that Rava actually turns everything on its head. He says Rava is actually Mako, right? And that's Rava always requires Teven, the generic, and Rava allows, there are two different standards. At least that's how I understood Shulchan Gibarim. Is that correct? Asher, am I right? Let's read it in just for a second. Quotes Rambam. You know, he points out it's very difficult. Quotes Magen Mishnah. V'yesh lahafri yosar al maimun b'perish ha-mishnah. The Pirush ha-mishnah pasak lahedri k'divrei Rava. Skip to the two widest line, to the second wide line. Hari de pasak Pirush ha-mishnah k'divrei Rava b'bavad. Lamam kein pasak b'chibur k'divrei Rava v'Rava b'tzarkim. Mikol makom maimun eina mefarish d'mei sa'orim b'zol d'amar Rava k'moshe mefarish Rashi. D'la maimun, or the Rambam, whatever, Dmei Sorim Bezol wrote to Lomar, Im Hasorim Heim Yoser Bezol. Me'amachol Sh'ochla HaBehema. Meaning the Sorim, you're never going to pay, of course, more than what you ate. But let's say what you ate, you know, there's the Sorim are worth less. Hachikama, Kim to Derech Behema Lechol Sorim. Roin ki ilohaya koma sha'achla sa'orim. Umishalim demei sa'orim. Im heim bezol yosur mimacho sha'achla. The Rav lo bala hachmir ala mishalim. Agam kemr shu mishalim sa'orim el nahakel alam. The visa machlokas rabba v'rabba hava hachi. Rabba amar shu mishalim demei amir afilo hayu ha sa'orim yosur bezol min amir. Now there's nobody thinks that you have to pay what you ate and what you benefited from. The question is, do you pay the generic? Or do you pay Sa'orim, which I guess is more, maybe that's the next level of, I don't know. But I guess it's also conceivable that Teven will be more expensive than Sa'orim. So basically the idea is that, it's fascinating, again, I don't believe it, but I don't believe it in the Rambam, but it doesn't matter. You know, I think it's interesting that the Shulchan Gibarim thought this was possible. I mean that Rabba, and this part doesn't bother me, he's saying Rabba is Machmir and Rava is Mekel. Rava thinks you pay the lowest price between Teven and Sa'orim, right? But both of them are, I guess, a generic, different ways, you know, of different generic ways of calculating the benefit here. Neither of them are the Cheftz itself, right? And Rabba's of the opinion that it always just goes by the generic food substance. Doesn't matter, even if it's for whatever anomalous reason more expensive than Sa'orim, right? You still have to pay the Dmei Teven, because that's just the objective. You ate what you ate, you know. You ate, whatever it is. You know, you drank champagne. It's water. Okay, and the others say no. There's water, let's say, and there is something with more a minimum amount of taste, orange juice. Okay, and what for some crazy reason, you know, orange juice is cheaper than water. Okay, but again, you drank champagne. I mean, the animal drank champagne. Okay, but these are two categories. There's the universal generic water, and there's something with flavor, flavored. I'm making it up, but you get the idea. So Rava is actually Mekel. Rava says you can do this generic, you can do that generic. And Rava says, no, you do the generic. Okay, I think that's what it says. Roin hamachal shachal kilo haya amir shehu davar shavehem anenis mimenu bakilaso mishalim b'amir aval demei asor minu mishalim afa b'shukam darkal echol saorim ein misharin b'saorim shedemei mikar miyosa b'amir v'day lanu in mishayar hahi achila kilo haysa amir v'rav amar im demei asorim heim yosa b'zol mina amir, like there's a run on water, right? Roin ma sha'achla kilo yisaorim Miu im dmei asaorim yikarim dmei amir badin mishalim dmei amir. The chiluk said the ravelos fir le l'raba alpha be d'shneim lahakel alamazik niskavnu l'fiza efshel l'salek kushazut shemak shemal ma'iman lomer d'liolam he paskins like rava bilvad v'loka rava. And what that's what he means. Roin osan, right? Ochlin sh'achla kilo ein sorim im ein bezal yosar b'dmei amir. A roin osan kilein amir, yemasorim yoser yekarim min amir. Veloka divrei rabba del rabba liolam mishalim dmei amir, kein yirla nios dait. Okay, so again, this range is very interesting. A similar idea or a similar issue which comes up can come up in any case of mashenena. The truth is, in other words, and we do have it on the next page. A new page, as we'd already noted in the Makif Nikav case, a little bit, right? Although you could be Michalik. I mean, what happened? Oh, I've got to run in a minute. But let's just talk about Rav Schora also before we go. So, what happened in that case with the Makif and the Nikav? Matan?
The Makif put up three walls and then the
right. So the Gemara says, and what if the Makif, there's a deal, they want to make a deal, that if the Nikav was put up the fourth wall, then he has to pay.
Yeah.
He has to contribute to all the walls. And the Gemara says, so that you know, but it sounds like if the Nikav put up the fourth wall, then the Makif would not have to pay. How could that be? Zenene Zelo Kosher, because he had to do it anyway. Says the Gemara, well, it is Kosher in a way, because what? Or right, he's not Nen, I should say that way. What does he say to him? Meaning?
Since he calls me extra.
You made a marble wall.
Yeah.
You know, chiseled from, you know, that special quarry in Switzerland. Okay, with the most expensive, you know, bricks or whatever it is, or marble that you could have. So you have to pay part of that wall? So if the guy builds a fourth wall, and in the fourth wall he builds it with that same material, you know, then maybe Gloi Milsa, that he has to contribute to the other three as well. But otherwise, all he has to pay is, you know, a minimal generic wall. Right? So this is a similar question. Right? He's benefiting from the wall, but the wall is far more expensive than the money that he's saving, or than another way of assessing what his hana'ah is. Shemashe chaser, you know, is marble. Although here it's a little trickier, because the mashe chaser is not really, you know, in other words, what's the chaser in the case of the hekev? Also, it's a different kind of chaser. It's a passive chaser. It's a chaser that what? Not going to be protected. He could also get protected for that amount. Right. In other words, the chaser in an active mazik case, you know, like what we're dealing with before, is where the animal, you know, ate champagne dog food. You know, so he's lost his champagne dog food or his champagne. Right? Maybe champagne people food. But in the Makif-Nikov case, we're talking about what the investment of the chaser himself, right? He chose to make that. He could also have put up generic walls. So that's a different story. But again, I'm just trying to point out that you have, it's an interesting question. He's nena from a marble wall. The fellow paid for a marble wall, the makif, the nikaf is benefiting from it. But is he benefiting from the marble of it? From his point of view, he's benefiting from a chalos wall of tavan. Okay? But you can imagine this is an issue that's going to come up. So regilus is koveya. You know, more than one way to look at it, you're always going to go high, go low, you know. It's what he saved, it's what he chasered. Okay, good. So let's talk about Rav Schora just for another couple of minutes, and then we will conclude for the day. And then we'll discuss some of the other issues in the Rishon. Try to get through as much as you can for the next time. And, you know, the Ruki Yosef, the Bali Tosis, the things I told you to look at, and then I'll probably give you more. Okay. Try not to make it too long either. Yeah. So what is the... We already noted in our survey that in the beginning of the sugya, it seems as if... What?
You needed a little bit of hana.
The what?
You only needed a little bit of hana. No.
I wouldn't say it that way, but... Oh, I see that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, true, but in the We'll talk more about that as well. But no, that is what I mean at the moment. What I mean is that the debate about Zenenev, the Gemara goes on to discuss Zenenev Zelo Chaser. Zenenev Zelo Chaser, correct? So again, we need to talk about all these cases. You know, Zelo Nenev Zelo Chaser, you know, Zechaser Zelo Nenev, Zenenev Zelo Chaser. Yeah, you know, we'll talk about each of the cases. Fine. But in the Shakla Vitaria, it seems like, you know, the bigger question that the Gemara is going through is this question of Zenene Vzelo Chaser. I mean, it's Gavra Delo Ovid Lamegar and Chaser Delo Ovid, you know, Delo Kaima Leagra. So that's Zenene Vzelo Chaser. But in the other case of Zenene Vzelo Chaser, the Gemara has the Safek, and that's what they're pursuing. So for a good chunk of the sugya, right, until you get to Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the assumption is that that's a pretty straightforward case, right? You have Zenene, and Zelo Chaser. Great. Then all of a sudden you have, what is it, Rav Schora?
Rav Huna.
What?
Rav Schora near Rav Huna near
Rav. Yeah. On Chaf Aleph, who says what?
Hadar Chatsi Chadosho Midaita in Tzarkosot.
Oh, the Zenen of Zelo Chaser is seemingly is Potur with a new wrinkle, with a new factor, namely.
You're scaring away this demon.
You what?
You're scaring away.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get. You know. Right. So we'll say because there is what it seems to be is. Kind of a reformulation of the patur, right? Till now we thought the patur was because of lo chaser, right? And now we're saying that the patur is because of
you're contributing.
It's zenene, zenene.
Yeah, you're making him go off.
Exactly. So instead of being zenene, v'zelo chaser, it's zenene, right? V'zenene, v'zelo chaser. Or I should say zenene, v'ze. Right? Nene v'lo chaser. Okay, that seems like a no-brainer. First of all, you cannot even understand how anybody would argue. It seems to be machlokas in the case. You know, so what's the argument about? It's zenene and zenene v'lo chaser. Right? So that seems to have, you know, kind of, you know, that constitutes a total change in tone in the sugya. And the question is, well, halacha, and generally, well, how do we understand? Okay, so I want to spend a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll move forward. The p'tur of sha'eha yukas shar, to'elas porta. I think there are two issues to consider. Number one, the Is this what kind of what level of hana is this considered to be? Right. Like, is there machlokas? And the Aman Damar says zenenev zelo chaser. You know, is chayiv? Right. He thinks that zenene and zenenev zelo chaser is chayiv. What?
That's the question.
Yeah?
No, because if you give him the sana, then it's a chisaron.
Say again?
If you give him the sana, but you're causing him a loss.
What do you mean causing him a loss? I'm saying if there's no loss. There's no loss. Is there? I mean, it's not obvious in the Gemara that there's a loss. It's zenene on one side, and zenene v'zelachasar on the other side. Why is there an argument in the Gemara anymore? I mean, it's machlokas in assessing, you know, the demons? Okay. So one issue is this, exactly. So is this Hana Purta qualify as a Hana? Okay. By the way, even if it qualified as a Hana, one could have said, you know, so there's Zenena. How much is the Zenena worth? $100. Okay? And on the other side, it's lo chaser, because he wasn't going to rent out his property. Right? And there's also a little bit of, there's a hana porta. How much is that worth?
That's how much. Go boy,
okay. Put a number on it.
$2.
How much?
$2.
I thought you'd say 12. Interesting. Okay. That you're projecting your own orientation here, or... Is this something for me to file away or not? Maybe.
I try to remind people on Yashin Yechidim.
I hear that. Okay. So, but good. It doesn't matter. The number doesn't faze me one way or another. So, meaning it's I'll pay you the. Maybe we'll. There's you know, another possibility here. But the Gemara doesn't really consider that. Right. In other words, in this case, you could. It seems like there's clearly a machlokas, right? Whether you're chayiv to pay the nana, meaning the rent, or whether you're potter to pay the rent. As far as I know, no one is saying. Well, we'll see. Is anyone saying that you get a deduction from the rent? Okay, and the Rishonim, some of them are maybe saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the triggers a whole mass of machlokas. In other words, so let's say you're supposed to pay $100 rent. $2, huh? Neutralizing demons is only worth $2 to you.
Okay.
So that's a Kabbalah thing for you, or it's more like, no, you could face those demons now.
So
it's more heroism or courage.
No.
If it doesn't apply, then it doesn't apply. Then it should be zero. Oh, the doesn't apply made it down to $2? In its height. It doesn't matter. I'm joking with you. And what I want to know is, does anybody think that you pay $98 rent? Or according to me, $88 rent?
There is a sheet.
There is a sheet al-halacha that way. In the Mukhe Yosef. Yeah, 100%. And a few other Rishonim too. But not in the Gemara. Right? So in the Gemara, it sounds like... So that's problem number one. How to label this? What is this? Is this enough hana to be... It's not the same kind of hana, obviously, as the... It's not a quantifiable hana that we've established. Moreover, it's not an equal hana. It's not like there's a balance... You know, afuche mitarta, you know, lamali here. Like, you know, you've got your hana, but I've got my hana. Right. So no one thinks that. Correct? So what is it then? It's more of a formal din. And if we can say that it's zenene, you know, and the other one is not only lo chaser, but zenene v'lo chaser, right? Somehow that legally and formally helps us you know, neutralizes the obligation of the nene, right? So that's very curious. We have to figure out what that means. In other words, the chaser would have triggered, the pure chaser would trigger the nene, and the fact that there's hana port alongside the chaser doesn't. Still chaser, or lo chaser, as the case may be, right? Okay, here it's lo chaser, sorry. Okay, so that's question number one. So what is this in the end of the day? This is another way of saying the same thing. Is this view basically saying zenene v'zelo chaser is patur, and the reason for it is because it's zenene, right? And it's there's a no port on the other side. Somehow that changes the equation. Or is it really changing the whole definition of what's happening? It's a dinin zenene versus zenene v'zelo chaser. Okay, that's really what I'm asking. Okay. Moreover, you can ask a Matthias question. Is there chaser on the other side? Comparable to this nen. Right? In the Gemara, it's not clear. We'll see in the Rishonim that it might be. But the Gemara does have discussion about bais chadash and the wear and tear. What? What do you have?
The next case of the Gemara.
Yeah. Bad?
Soman. There was very little chisan, but they got a massive amount of number from the mention.
Yeah. So is it possible that there's also some sort of a, tit for tat, quid pro quo here? Maybe that's what Rav's Chorin meant. Okay? So in the Gemara itself, very unclear. It's just a confusing sugya because we didn't know anything about this Sanab Porta, until all of a sudden. Oh. So just to go through very quickly what some of the shittos are in the 10 minutes that we have left. So number one, Bahag, some of the Achronim know this Bahag. The Bahag seems to quote this din, that Sha'el Yukashar, that you need Hana Porta for the Chaser, or for the Lo Chaser, rather, as well. The question is, will that apply not only in lo chaser, but even in chaser? So those who try to be medayek from the Bahag, it's once you have this Rav Schora in the name of, what is it again? Rav Huna, Amar Rav, once you have that introduced, will that factor apply even in a situation of chaser? Right, chaser, right, the Ovid, Lemegar. It's not clear in the Gemara. That's earlier in the Gemara on Chafam and Aleph, and the Gemara is formulating the question. The Gemara says, if it's Zenene, and it's Zeh, chaser, then Lekula Almo you'll be chay. Right? The only question is, Zenene v'zeh lo chaser. But once you decide that there's a legal chalos of zenene on the other side, does that possibly change the equation? That even if it's chaser? That would be very mechudash. Okay, that would be, attributing or assigning, tremendous weight to this new factor. It would literally be zenene, right, on one side, and zenene v'zechaser on the other side. And it's very hard to say, let me add, this is what some people suggest for the Bahag, because when the Bahag quotes his halacha, he doesn't distinguish between Ovid Lemegar and Lo Ovid Lemegar. Or Kaimaligra, rather, and Lo Kaimaligra. Okay? But I just want to point out that would be a very extreme view, because even then, it's very unlikely to think, what I asked you a second ago, that the Hana, that the that the maskir, if you will, or the bailin, let's say, receives, is the equivalent of his chaser. Just like it's hard to believe that it's the equivalent of the other guy's nin. Right? And it's the $100, you know, certainly seems to be worth more than the, whether it's the $2 or let's, you know, even if we push it up to 98. Okay? Correct? I think we all agree with that? Okay. So then you have a fascinating situation, namely those who make this diuk in the Bahag obviously are not neutralizing or they're not worried about the balance of its chayvuyos here. Right? I think with Pashas would be very strange if it was, and maybe somebody says it was, we'll see, but okay. So it brings us again back to the idea, you know, that I was kind of projecting, you know, about chaser or other things in general. Namely, what is it that defines or triggers, you know, how do you look at the hana that is, you know, subject to this whole discussion, whether it is a, you know, actionable, factor. If it's just the benefit that you get per se, the mamoni gabach, the mishtarshi, in the most objective way, and there's nothing, you know, no other additional factors, then the whole thing is very strange. I mean, there might be other explanations, we'll see. But let's say, for example, you take the view that of the Bali Tosis, which we still have to talk more about, that is a chaser below nene. What's the name of chaser below nene? Quintosis potter. So in light of that, why is the nene v'ze chaser chayev? So, but are you only chayev for the hana, or you're also chayev for the chaser?
That depends. It could be the one trigger.
Either way, what I'm saying is that according to Tosis, why is chaser v'lo nene potter?
Because it's a grama.
That's a grama. So if it's a grama, that means it's unactionable. So why does it make you chayev for the hana, which you wouldn't be chayev for if there was no chaser?
It could be a trigger for the...
Meaning in the way that... So there's something about the chaser, right, which redefines how we look at the nene. Now, there might be other explanations for that. The chila, kofar midas tom, as I said. But, or the one that I'm suggesting, which is in terms of the impact it has in concretizing the hana, or connecting the hana to the bailin.
Like, there are masters. The new theos that brings from the ra.
Yeah. Well, that's the question, how much are you going to pay, the extra.
Yeah.
You have the line? Yeah, we're going to discuss that next time, but I just want to point out that it's already implicit in different perspectives on zenene, v'zenene, v'chaser, maybe, even zenene, and zenene v'zelo chaser. Yeah. The question again, and that question we discussed before, when you pay, according to, if you need Rav Schora, and you don't have it, right? What do you pay? Those who hold, the Ramah holds that you only pay
the Chisaru.
That's strange. And then he quotes a bunch of other Rishonim, including the Ra'ah. Yeah, go ahead.
The cost of the Ramah, and the Kama Shinin Hachli, the Kama Shinin Hachli, the Nachis of Daitu Vegra, the Nachis of Daitu Vegra, Shinin, the Kohith, the Kamal Agra, Gavi Bailim, Apagat, the Nachis of Daitu, the Mesa Vegra, the Lena Shachrina, the Lomachai, the Lomidi.
Yeah, we'll see the kihechis when we go through it more carefully. Yeah.
Yeah,
that part you just
got. Yeah. And then at the end he says, Okay, the kind of schema rather. It was all behind the fact of the camera agro, the fact of the camera agro. The power has started living, closer for the shaman, closer to the gazlan. Then we will take southern Karenim, says Jane, the show, Chicago, okay, access, so that if there's several bottom, any bottom didn't bring the gazlan, can't cross your hands out.
You know the line there? It's not.
There's a bunch. Maybe I'm reading from the
wrong. I think you're reading the wrong. Okay, we'll find it for next time. I don't want to belabor now. So, but the point I'm trying to make is there is this, again, or the view of Bali Tosis, which is, Zed Nenev Zelo Chaser, right? Zed Nenev Zel Chaser. So what do you pay?
Yeah, I found it.
Oh, you found it, good. Yeah.
About that, Sir Osher Ritmos, and I forgot the last Sir Albert
Vernon, Michelle
Pomosha, and then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it could be Michalik, as I'll discuss next time. But right. I mean, you pay the nene.
Yeah.
Which is triggered by or revised by the chisar, which is also similar to what Tosa says in Zen nene v'zechaser. You don't pay the chaser. Yeah. So again. This is, if you were to hold that chaser below nene is chayiv, then that would be a different story. But if it's not, and it's not actionable, so, what is it? So either it's, kofit amidas tom, it's connecting to mechila, kpeda, those kind of things, or it becomes a mechanism to redefine either the connection, the source of the hana, alpidin, or the status and stature of alpidin. So this is a very, very critical question. The Bahag is one challenge. That's an especially as a very radical view, but a fascinating view, that this Zenene factor would neutralize even Chaser. Okay, but it's actually not impossible to say. It's hard to say if you're not Chayev for the Chaser alone, right? Okay, but it's important to show the imbalance either way. Okay, next. What about that's the Bahag? The Rif and others clearly don't hold that way. They mention Rav Schora also in a case of Chatzar de Lokaima La'agra only. Again, the diuk is that the Bahag didn't mention Chatzar de Lokaima La'agra. Some people thought that maybe he thought there was a transition in the Gemara. Only need Chatzar de Kaima La'agra, if it's Zenene, Vizelo Chaser. But once you have Zenene, and Zenena on the other side, then you don't need lochaser. Zenena v'chaser also. Yeah.
Could anyone take that extension of the Mahag even to a case where there's active chaser, not just the Tosos Grum ask?
That's an interesting question. I guess if it's a mazik, then you wouldn't, because then it would for sure be the balance of payment. Let's say you held that you're that chaser below nene, for example, that you're chayiv. Could you still say that?
The context of the hana kind of neutralizes it.
Because it's connected, this chaser is connected to a hana too, and you weren't explicit about it. Then could that even affect that? You're asking. That would be even more radical. I certainly could see making that distinction.
We spoke about that a little bit by the.
What?
Yeah. The Rechayim case, that it's like you rip someone's book. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
If you benefit somebody in the process of your mazik.
Yeah. But that's usually when you benefit him. Not in a small, teeny way, but
right.
More.
Right.
You destroy the Rav's thing was that you like you destroy. There are two you have to switch, not Rembrandt, but Van Gogh. There are two Van Goghs in the world, right? And you destroy one. So on the surface, that's an act of destruction. Oh, yeah, yeah. On the other hand, you have the only Van Gogh left, the last of the Van Goghs, right? That's a little bit different, though, because that catapults the price. Here, we're talking about a negligible, but it still may contextually, assuming that they're connected, they say, oh, but this just, that's, just like Chaser can trigger a nana on the other side, that's really what I'm trying to say. So a nene on this, together with the chaser, can neutralize even the chaser's impact on that. If you look at it that way, again, if you're just breaking down the numbers, it's ridiculous in this case. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I really have to go. So let's. Okay. Some Rishonim are the opinion that there's a machlokas in the sugya, meaning the first part of the sugya, it was zen and was classical zen and v'zelo chaser, right? And then this Rav Schora in the name of Rav Huna said, no, no, if you have pure zen and v'zelo chaser, you're always lekula alma, you're going to be chayev. But if you have this, this hanoah purta on the other side, you know, somehow that changes the balance, that changes the equation. Okay, that's if there's a machlokas. Okay, Rabbeinu Yona in Baal Basra, I don't know if you got a chance to look at that already, in the Sugya Abdallah Rabbeinu Beis, paskins that like Rav Schora, in the name Rav Huna, that we say Zen Enev Zeh Lo Chaser Potur, but only where you have this, you know, negligible zenene on the other side of the ledger. Okay, that's fascinating. That is fascinating. The rush, on the other hand, here Alatar, anybody get a chance to see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, says what?
He passed and says
zenene zoa chasis pater. Always, even if there's no toeles, and he doesn't even think that Rav Schora is serious about the toeles, right? He just says, Rav Schora is telling you there happens to be a little toeles, right? It's very bedochak, obviously, right? But it's not a halachic factor at all. He's just telling you the truth. By the way, you know, don't discount the demon benefits, you know, that you're getting here. But it's not necessary, correct? Okay. I mean, again, it's bedochak in the Gemara, but that's the opposite of Rabbeinu Yona, who, well, he may agree that there's a machlokas either way, but he certainly paskins that you need this extra toelis. If you don't have the toelis, then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. Okay? Okay. And what about the Rajba?
The
Rajba paskins basically that you...
You're only chayev when you get hanok.
That you're only chayev... No.
When every case is affected, all the cases of spaces or properties is chaser.
Are what?
Are chaser.
Exactly. The Rajba came up with, he said basically, the phantom, not phantom, the negligible hana of Rav Schora or Rav Huna is matched by a negligible chaser of wear and tear. That's something else. That's in terms of, you know, lemaisa, that there's no such thing as omeid, a lo omeid lenegar. That's something else. The Rajba is saying like this. It looks like Rav Schora is, and Elmer Rav Huna is saying zen nenev zelo chaser, you know, is chayev. But every case is zen nenev, right, v'zen nenev zelo chaser. Right? And he says that, but that isn't true at all, because that's against the beginning of the sugya. It doesn't seem like it's a machlokas in the sugyas either, and it doesn't seem like you need that extra. It doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Yonah. It doesn't hold like it's a machlokas or Rabbeinu Yeshaya, right? It doesn't hold like the rush that Rav Schora is just telling you a fact, but it's, you know, halachically, you know, inconsequential. So like, what's left? So the Rajba says no, because just like there's a negligible Nana, there's always a negligible chasa. What Rav Schora meant to do is to neutralize the wear and tear. There's always wear and tear. Right? Again, that might be true. Question is whether metzias-wise it's true. Can you put a dollar figure on it? And is it a legal, you know, category? That's an interesting question. The answer is yes and no. According to the Rajba, yes and no. You know, and, you know, both this hana and that chaser would legally have been significant if they didn't, you know, neutralize each other. So you have like a phantom. It's not, you know, basically what you have is zenene, right? Vizelo chaser, right? What you really have is zenene, right? Vizenene, vizenene, vizelo chaser. that neutralize each other, which means that you have the equivalent of zenene, right? Right? Meaning this hana solidifies the lo chaser. Okay? So that's interesting. And again, I think conceptually it's interesting because it does mean that you would... and again, then you have betzivi v'tivna and that whole business, right? So there are two ways now, right, to understand that, right? There's a debate, what constitutes, you know, the zenena on the other side of the ledger, right? So one way is, you know, is to say that you don't have it. The other is you don't have it enough, you know, to neutralize the wear and the tear. But, that is the shita of the Rajba. So basically, conceptually, the Rajba ends up like the Rush, right? But, you know, for a different reason. Again, the Rush, the whole thing is just not a legal category, not the chaser or not the nana, the negligible, the purta ones. And for the Rajba, they are both legally significant, but typically they neutralize each other. Okay. And this same argument, yeah.
For the Rashba, let's say you don't have this neutralizing factor. So do you pay the amount of the deterioration, or do you pay full?
So that's the question.
Because I thought looking at it right now, it sounds like he implies that you would actually pay full.
Right.
He says, if that's true, he says,
yeah,
let's say
line.
The people already living there, even how you acquire an ashebeso and ashemachirim darba, mahmas baladira, ubach everdarba, malo loschar. Sounds like...
The whole bound.
Exactly, not just the...
Even though it's a very small chaser.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to the other question, and that is when you have zen again, so it's not only right. Because again, for the Rajba, this was a chaser that was enough that needed to be neutralized. The whole point of Rav Schora Runa is that is driven by the I presented it as, you know, them being parallel problems. Like, is that enough of a Hanad account to register? Is that enough of a chaser to count? But the truth is, in the Rajba, the way he's understanding the Sugya is that it starts with the chaser. Meaning, there's no zenen of zelo chaser here because there's chaser. And therefore, there would always be chiyuv. So now the question is, what would that chiyuv be? The amount of the chaser or the nene? Now that's a big machlokas anyway. The Rajba holds like the Bali Tosis, you know, in the end of the sugya on that point. So he's saying, even in a chaser purta ma'od ma'od, you'd pay the full nene. Which again goes back to our, like, why is that? Is that because it's... The only reason that you're patur is for extraneous reasons to begin with, and there's no longer an extraneous justification, and you're going to pay? Or is it because of the revising or the redefining of the nen in light of the chaser, and the chiddush is that that's even in a very small chaser? So it's not surprising that he says that, given his general shita, but it is important to point it out. Okay, so... I guess we're going to stop here. This is the Amshel Shlomo, who I mentioned before, also is very active on this whole sugya. Holds like the Rush, but he adds. You see it? What? Okay. So that's the one in Tezayin. But he says that the difference is that, you know, they hold like the Rush, that the, you know, you don't have to take Rav Schora so seriously. Now, it's not going to be the difference, la halacha, one way or another. But he does say that it is significant enough to determine whether or not there's a little chatchila. Are you allowed the chatchila to be, you know, living in this house without, you know, permission? Right? Says the Yamshel Shlomo, you know, based on Rav Schora, you can even do it. And, you know, if the circumstances don't exist... Or if it wasn't for this factor, it would be the difference. Like, you know, Shol Shalomidas was a Gazlan, but that's a little strange because Shol Shalomidas Gazlan, you should be Chayev. You're not saying the difference is Chiyuv and Patur because he wants all like the Rush, that, you know, it's just a fact. But he's making it a factor in terms of Lechatchila, and he's invoking, so making it a factor in terms of Lechatchila, I think, is interesting. That is compatible. I don't think the Rush says that, but I think that, you know, you can, that's compatible with Rashba. The comparison to Shol Shol Midas Gazlin or not implies that it's even a little more than that. Maybe it's a non-actionable, you know, gazela, this kind of very, very hard to understand. Yeah.
The other thing is that it's kofin amidas stum.
That it's what?
Kofin amidas stum. You have to stay in for free because kofin amidas stum.
In general?
Yeah.
Right. No, we know. That's Tosis in Babasar too. That, you know, that the... and I'm saying, if you say kofin amidas stum, well, that's what we're going to discuss next time. We mentioned it last time also. Then you could just say, well, you know, the conditions of kofin amidas stum don't apply when there's any objective downside. And maybe that's where the chaser, you know, comes into play. The Rav Yoh says this about, I remember, I have to look at it again. But he's saying in general you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, in this case.
In the case where there's chaser, but there's no hana?
When there is hana, but there's no chaser.
I mean, general, and then there's no chaser.
It's like lichat chiva.
Right. I'm saying to that, it's like Tosef Babasra. Yeah, I know there are a bunch of Rishonim who say that. But what I'm saying is, the Yamshah Shlomo is saying, I hold like the Rush that Rav Schora is telling you a fact, but not a factor. And then he says, however, it is a factor regarding Lechatchila. Understand? So, meaning, when there is the Hana of Rav Schora, then you can do Lechatchila. And when not, then not. The Arishon would think that without Rav Schora, Zenen of Zelochaser is Lechatchila because of, you know, Kofin Amidas Stone. Right? Okay, so we'll finish with that next time. What is the Rambam's view? Anybody know? Rambam? So again, this is not clear. The Rambam doesn't quote Rav Schora and Rav Huna. He doesn't mention one way or another. There seems to be a debate among the Achronim, the Yamshah Shlomo and the Gra and Nasiv Katan Tezayin, what the Rambam really holds, who he holds like. Does he hold like the Rosh, or does he hold like the Rashba? Okay, so this is just like background for, you know, discussing these questions more fully, namely this idea, what are the different views of, you know, Kofin Amidas Stom, Mechila, the Chepta Shel Hanav, or the source of the Hanav, that's what I want to get into. What about cases where the guy is Makbid, and he's not Mochel? You know, let's say he has some, you know, not actionable reason, but a reason that, you know, neutralizes Kofin Amidas Stom, right? All those kind of questions. So that's what we'll pick up with Yirat Hashem on Thursday. Sorry it went so long. Ooh, I've got a lot. I think so, yeah? Yeah. That good?
Yeah.
Oh.